This edition of the all-time top 40 season countdown, talking about Survivor One World, is sponsored by our friends at Word Forest. Download Word Forest for free today and get ready to flex your brain muscles. Keeping your body in shape is important, but it's also important to keep your mind sharp. And I've been leveling up my focus with Word Forest. Word Forest, it's my new favorite game. It's a word puzzle app, and it's free. Word Forest is an app made for word search addicts. Connect letters in any direction to form hidden word matches. It has over 2,000 levels, and you'll never get bored playing. It starts off easy, but gets harder as you get better, and it's fun. Find as many words as possible to earn bonus coins and uncover hidden words. Word Forest, it's a relaxing game with a nature setting and a great way to keep your mind sharp and grow your vocabulary. Put yourself to the test with this fun and addicting brain game. And right now, Word Forest is offering you 2,500 coins and 500 gems when you download and play. It's your new quantum entanglement. Stop mindlessly scrolling through social media and keep your mind sharp. Just go to the Apple or Google store and search for Word Forest. Download Word Forest for free today and get ready to flex your brain muscles. Coming to you live from my island, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's the guy with a quantum entanglement with Survivor. I am Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to our all-time season rankings countdown for Survivor. And today, we are going to talk about the 37th best season as voted by the fans of Rob Has a Podcast, as we are counting down to number one every week during the Survivor Yadas. And so today, Survivor One World, we'll talk about the good and the bad and everything in between with an amazing panel once again. Very excited to have this person here with us to talk Survivor. I spend so much time talking about Big Brother with this person. But let's talk about some Survivor with Aman Adwin. Aman, how are you?
Hello. I don't know. Am I allowed to answer that question, Rob? The game, the podcast is afoot.
You
Rob.
Shan't say.
I shan't say.
Yes.
But I will anyway. I'm great. I'm glad to be back. I rarely get to talk about Survivor over here at RHAP. So I'm excited to talk about this season, even though a lot of people aren't too excited.
No,
to talk
they
about
should be.
This season.
They should be. Okay.
They should be, though.
Aman, I like the new setup.
Thank you. I finally got my act together and actually got myself a decent camera and a decent backdrop so that I'm not constantly silhouetted by the backlighting. You know, I actually decided to be put my best foot forward for podcasting. Yes. So
looks great. All right. And we're very excited to have back with us to talk about Survivor One World. Serena Foster is here. Serena, how are you?
I'm doing great, Rob. And all I have to say is luck these.
Luck these. Okay. Serena, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. I actually am excited to talk about this season, despite everything that happened in it. I enjoyed myself rewatching it.
Yeah. Spoiler alert. I thought this was a very fun season to talk about. And certainly there are issues here. There's a reason why it's number 37. But I think that maybe the listeners might be too low on Survivor One World. How about that?
I think so, too. I mean, look, there are definitely some issues.
We'll talk about them.
With this season. Yeah. But 37th out of 40, I don't know if I'd place it that low. I mean, I think with the winner alone, which we'll get into, is reason enough for this season to, it's redeeming. Look, this season has a redemption island of its own in Kim Spradlin.
Aman, maybe it's just me that this month I have watched Survivor Island of the Idols, Survivor Redemption Island, Survivor Thailand. I'm watching Survivor One World and I'm like, oh my God, this is incredible.
And I thought we were in a pandemic. That sounds like cruel and unusual punishment.
Yeah, I might just be in the Survivor Desert out here. But no, I think that this was, there's fun stuff. I actually think that, Serena, the thing that people are always super down about this game, this season, is that how boring the season is. I didn't think it was that boring.
Yeah, no, it was exciting. This is only my second time watch through, so my notes taking were like oh, this is great. This is great. This is terrible. Okay. It's still kind of good, I guess.
Yeah.
So yeah, it wasn't boring. That's for sure.
Yeah. There are train wreck elements here. And, we'll talk about a lot of the toxic people that inhabit Survivor One World. But, there's actually interesting gameplay that we're talking about a season like Redemption Island, where it's sort of over at the merge. This season is still up in the air, well into the post-merge game. Maybe not until the finale does it become kind of a snoozer and a runaway for Kim. But we'll talk about all that here. We are live here on Wednesday night. That's when we're recording these shows. We can take questions and comments from YouTube along the way. Of course, we put out our question poll every single week. We'll take your feedback as well here tonight. We got probably about 200 questions about the season. We will not get to all of them here tonight. Woo! But over the weekend, for the patrons of Rob's Podcast, I will be together with the great Felipe Chamon, and we will answer your additional remaining questions and any other new ones that come in on our all-time rankings patron feedback show this weekend. So if you want to get a look at what that is like, of course, you can head on over to robisawebsite.com/patron to get access to our patron podcast feed and everything we have going on in our patron community at robhasawebsite.com/patron. Pro tip, wait until February 1st. Because then you do not get charged for January if you sign up in February, or consider maybe the annual option and then knock it out for 365 days, pay for 11 months, get the 12th month for free. Okay. All right. Survivor One World. All right. Serena, any opening thoughts on Survivor One World?
The women versus men,
yes,
obviously is such a strong component in this game. The obviously living on one world, I love that they could interact with each other. I wish it kind of delved more deep into the strategy of the long-term game, but it was still really enjoyable to watch. But yeah, the women versus men, that really struck me right from the beginning. Even in my second time watching, I was like, oof, I remember this part now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I guess let's take it from the one world twist idea, because that's really where a lot of people, going back to this season, think, okay, was this doomed to failure, or was there a germ of a good idea here, Iman?
I think the theme is where things sort of begin and end with the season. I think, you put together a season of men versus women. It is the oldest story in the book. It is so,
tell me
it's
about
so
it.
Played. It's so played out. How many been times there, are we going to do this Adam versus Eve thing? It's very schoolyard. And I feel like on top of that, with some of the casting decisions, it really just sort of devolved the gameplay and the discourse to a very infantile level really early on into the season. And so I felt and then once the merge happens, which happens sooner than you'd think, it's kind of okay, well, what was the point entirely? So I feel like all of this predication on women versus men just really didn't add that much to the season, and then I think that they really wanted it to. So yeah. It kind of fizzled for me.
Serena, yeah, I agree. I feel like that the men versus women angle of the season, and it ends up looming large. I mean, that the post-merge game really does then ultimately turn back into the women getting back together and voting out the men. So it does pay off ultimately in the season. But it does feel like that this was a misfire here in Survivor 24. They had already done men versus women twice before. I always felt like they did men versus women here because they felt like, oh, well, the viewers won't be able to know who's on which tribe if they're all on one beach and it's not men versus women.
That's definitely potential thinkings there. I mean, the game was very simplified here. I don't think there was really enough of a advantage to working with the other people so that it became actually one world. I feel like it was always divided literally from the truck that pulled up with all the ingredients on it. Yeah, they were divided straight from there, and they were always at each other's, biting at each other's ankles from the start.
Yeah, you feel like that maybe the season could have got off on a different note, but Amon, in the very first moments of the season, there's like one truck, and then Jeff Probst's like, all right, men, women, get as much stuff as you want off the truck. And everybody's taking the stuff off the truck, and then there's one guy, Michael Jefferson, a real, who? Who's this? He starts like raiding like the women's pile of stuff, and mm-hmm. they let it go. And from that point on, there's a lot of bad feelings between these two groups. Like, they never get back on the same page. This one guy, a nobody, ends up, like, setting the whole tone of the season.
I mean, I guess there really is nothing in the rules that says that you can't take supplies from other people. It's like, all bets are off until Jeff says, all right, stop! But you're allowed to, it's kind of like a free-for-all until then. And so, taking the ask, I think, is a really crappy move, not chivalrous in the slightest, but I mean, that's the kind of behavior that you're asking for when you're literally say, let's, and Mike is like, I mean, Mike is, I mean, we've seen him, we're going to see him act very non-chivalrous in other competitions throughout the show. So it's, you know, it's not really lost on me, the irony in that at all.
Yeah. And we see then from that point on, like, we have the two tribes, ultimately, we have the reveal. Okay, they're living, their flags are right next to each other. And Serena, really, like, after that incident, that the two tribes, really, there's so much bickering that goes on between the two groups over that, you know, that there's a trade for a chicken. There's just, like, a lot of, like, very, like, annoying negotiations that go on between the men and the women over. The men have a fire. They won't let the women go near the fire. The women get fishing stuff. They don't want the men to touch it.
Yeah, it's all very frustrating to watch and also like embarrassing. Like, you have to have no shame to be on the season to be like, you can't have my chicken, but I really am cold, so I'm going to try to steal your fire. But then I'll win this thing, and then you guys can't use our fishing gear. But then in another scene, Jonas has the net. I mean, yeah, it's all back and forth and like, very like, ugh, like cringy to watch.
Yeah,
it's very like tit for tat, you know. Like, it's like, we have the chicken, but you have the fire, which means we can boil the water, so you can't even cook the chicken. But we have the warmth, but you guys can weave baskets. Just like, I mean, where's the one world? Where is the one world? That's what I'm looking for here.
Exactly.
Where's the big learning moment?
Yeah. So it was an interesting idea, one world. It just like I don't feel like that it was ever going to work in this context. That, going back to last week, we watched in Survivor Thailand, they also kind of had this one world set up, but that was a fake merge. I do wonder if they could bring one world back in the context of that. I feel like that one of the most boring parts of the modern Survivor game is at the merge, especially now they merge with such a big group. It's 13, it's 12. They're always lopsided votes. We almost rarely get anything interesting going on at that vote. I wonder in like a modern Survivor season, if, you know, start the game, do a swap, and then what if you won world at 13 instead of merge? Don't fake, you have to do a fake merge. We don't have to trick anybody. It's like, all right, you're not merged yet, but now live together. And it's like, people are like, well, I'm not going to be a total a-hole to everybody because I'm going to merge with these people. I think that that would be an interesting spot to bring this one world idea back.
If it was like this season of people, it would all be like, I can't go talk to them. I can't be seen with any of these people interacting with them. I need to stay in the majority. I need to make bad decisions. Mm-hmm. It's definitely like promising because I feel like probably the game players are a little bit elevated in today's age, but I still feel like people will be scared.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I agree as well. I mean, I feel like, yeah, force them to really actually have to be together. And if you want to do it at 13, force, you know, whether it's the women or the men that have the extra person on their side, force somebody to go to Exile Island and then have two tribes that consist of two, an equal amount of both genders.
Yeah.
So that way, there really is no advantage. And then you really, that, I mean, that's the whole point. It's in the name of the season. And that way we can really see what will happen once they are evenly split.
And I hope I'm not confusing the chat. I'm talking about like if season 41 tried something like this, and it doesn't need to be a men versus women season. And yes, chat, they merged at 12 in this season. I'm just saying in modern seasons, they merge at 13. It's too many people. Mm-hmm. And I think it'd be interesting to get like a couple of like you have the immunity challenges, then they go back to camp, and then people will be like interfering in the other tribe who they're going to vote off. I think it'd be an interesting idea. Let's talk a little bit about the cast here from this season, because this is a high variance cast. You have some really great players, a couple, specifically our winner, Kim. And then we have some super toxic people. We have some real, to be polite, dum-dums that are in this cast as well, like some really bad game players. I brought this up during Redemption Island. Like, we are in the height of like the recruit era of Survivor. We are bringing a lot of people to the show that have no idea what they're doing.
Yeah, it's so interesting to see stuff like this happen, and I've been told that this little stretch of seasons is considered the dark ages of the show. Largely based off of the casting, and it's so interesting that this was something that that Jeff Probst would have signed off on, considering how passionate he is nowadays about bringing super fans into the fold. So,
this might be why.
The difference is staggering. The growth is staggering. But I think, like you just said, like the thing that makes this season, I think, critically panned is the casting, but one of the greatest things about this season in the same breath is the casting. I mean, you have people like Kim that are amazing, and I'm sure we'll get a chance to talk about her, and people that are criminally underrated who should have been asked to come back. And I don't know if this is the case. Maybe she has been asked and she's declined, but Sabrina Thompson needs to be back on Survivor.
So she was in the mix for Second Chances, but I think that she might have had, if I remember the story correctly, I think she might have had like some sort of like a family emergency like late in the game and didn't do a lot of campaigning to come back. So she was one of the 32 people that was in the mix to come back for Second Chances.
Okay, well,
yeah.
I guess her time has since passed, since they're really emphasizing for seasons 41 and onward to be an entirely new Survivor. But yeah, I really want to see, I would really have loved to see her come back at this point. And then you kind of decline into the craziness that is Colton Cumby, and I will even say Alicia. I know Alicia has some stands out there. I am not one of them.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's very half and half.
Yeah.
It's very tit for tat. Once again.
Well, let's talk about some of these people, because they make such a big impact on the season. And I feel like that Colton is the one that he gets the most airtime in the like the first six episodes are just Colton, 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 Colton. He's all over this season. They lean so heavy on Colton that there's almost hardly any Kim in the first half of the season. She really doesn't start to show up as a presence until like after the swap. Serena, what were your thoughts on Colton on this rewatch?
Okay, so I have seen the season before, obviously. That's why I signed up to do this. I was enjoying the Colton of it all. I was enjoying the manipulation. Obviously, there were comments leading up to that specific tribal where I was like, oof, ah, yikes. But I wasn't really sure, you know, like what was about to happen. I think I honestly blocked it all out. I blacked out my memories. I mean, the ability to manipulate people to give up an immunity to go to a tribal was really interesting to watch. And then it just turned out that he was a terrible person. So,
yeah.
But as a character, it was definitely interesting to see him playing.
So go ahead, Mon.
He's horrible. He's horrible.
He's horrible.
He's horrible. I mean, that's all I can say right now.
Yes, he is horrible. He is horrible.
Yeah.
I don't deny that at all. I'm not saying that he's not horrible.
And he comes back again very soon after this. And the reunion show, we can get into that also, is like so much Colton in the reunion show.
And, his mother.
let's do that separately. But there's so much Colton there. And The only thing I could say about Colton is that the best thing in his favor is that I think he's 21 here. He comes back to Survivor a couple seasons later, and he's in the relationship with Caleb. That he has another major flame out on Survivor, but he goes through this this major tragedy in his life where the death of Caleb, and that, you know, he has at least shown some growth if you follow him on social media, or that's the best we can say about Colton here, is that that he's on the bottom here and he had nowhere else to go but up.
I mean, I hope that's the case. I was just talking to Matt Liguori before coming on this earlier today, and he was, you know, talking about some of the things that Colton has been up to on social media lately. I have not. I mean, Colton does not exist in my space.
I don't follow it super closely. Yeah.
I wasn't assuming that you were. I was just saying that I don't really know. So if this is the case that he has gotten better, I mean, I don't think that anybody is beyond redemption. I don't think that anybody is beyond change. So That is really great to hear. I just think that it's in the same breath. It's very unfortunate this particular moment and chapter in his life is forever documented for us all to see.
But it's so rough.
If he can turn this into a learning experience, then that's great. That's awesome.
Yeah. And I will say, there are plenty of other people who are fine on the show and have shown a lot of decline since the show. And I feel like that is the worst.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
that is the worst example. But Colton is really bad here. Does some interesting things strategically, but is just a super toxic presence with many of the other players that he interacts with. That he gets into it with Bill Posley is a very ugly incident. Gets talked about in the reunion show. Calls him ghetto trash and talks about how he really seems to hate him for no apparent reason other than he is a stand-up comedian and he should get a real job. He calls Leaf an Oompa Loompa and also a Munchkin
from the Land of Oz.
Yeah. He also he pairs up with Alicia, and I think that this might not have been in the episode, but I do remember at the time there was, I think it was a secret scene that that he is they're making fun of Christina Cha.
And I forgot about that.
Yeah, they're doing making fun of her being Asian. It's really he's an equal opportunity offender, Colton, all the way through his time on the show.
The thing for me is that the most disappointing thing besides Colton is the fact that he does generate so much attention for the episodes. Like, he is such a huge part of the edit. Quite frankly, because he kind of sucks up all of the air and the air time at the island. And I guess it's just a testament to the rest of the cast at that point that they either could just lay low and let Colton just do what Colton is going to do and then wait and swoop in afterwards, or be the person to step up to Colton. And then when you are the person to step up to Colton, you're the one that gets to go home. Like, you actually get your tribe that's already won immunity to go to the tribal council to get voted out. Like, I still don't understand why Jeff allowed that to happen. Like, I just feel like it has to be written down in the rule book somewhere that when you win immunity, you're immune.
Yeah.
Like, you're immune, right? Like, why? Since when do the players get to dictate the progression of a game mechanic? It doesn't make sense.
So let me just set this up for people who don't have a great memory of this season. So the women they're down. They didn't lose the first challenge. They have a medical evacuation with the first challenge. They lose the second challenge. The men lost the third immunity. But so the men basically, it's a blowout. They're basically going to be up now. Two people. They're going to be up. I guess it's going to be 8-6 after this tribal council, after the women have to go and vote somebody out. And so that Colton decides, hey, we should just go to tribal council, and the men end up all or just about all agreeing to it. And then I guess because of the one world twist, they're able to go tell the women, hey, we'll take your spot and go to tribal council. It would have been interesting to see if they would have tried this on a different season that was not a one world season. Could they have pulled off this maneuver? But you had people like Jonas, who I think this was a good survivor lesson of. He said basically like, hey, I thought this was a bad idea, but I didn't want to stand up to Colton because then I would be next. And I think it's a good lesson for people of, you know, having sort of like this, you know, toxic presence. If you don't stand up to them, ultimately you go down with the ship too.
Yes, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many opportunities for multiple people on that tribe to have spoken up and said something and not gone to tribal, which is exactly what you don't want to do. So, yeah, that was so terrible to watch that confessional with Jonas. I'll be his person. I'll do whatever he says.
Colton's B word.
Yes.
I just don't understand why you felt like you would be next when you guys literally weren't next. The girls were up next. Like when you go up to the tribal council, the girls are on the schedule. They're supposed to be there. So how could you be next if you just take immunity and then get Colton's ass out the next time? It just doesn't make any sense to me. And the fact that Bill ultimately agrees to it as well, he shares a little bit of blame in this too.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you did an interview with Bill later on, and he said that he thought that he could flip it on Colton. I'm like, you thought that you could flip it on Colton when Colton was the reason that you guys ended up there in the first place?
And he says in the confessional, he's like, hey, if they want to vote Leaf out, hey, that's, you look, I was getting a lot of heat. I'm fine to vote out Leaf.
No.
I think that this is the worst move, at least from a certainly for a tribe. It's one of the worst moves in the history of the show that they agree to do this, because ultimately it's a numbers game. They merge 6-6, and then once Kim ultimately gets them to vote out Jonas at the merge, it's a runaway. And if there would have been more men at any point in the game, Kim probably is going to end up sticking with her swap tribe of Jay and Troyzan, but she has these options, and it's like, oh, okay, I'll just keep the women together. This is so easy. It was such a bad move.
A really, really bad move, and very uncomfortable television. I mean, the entire tribal is just a bunch of back and forth, and I all know the story. It's not I think the ultimate, you know, social lesson here is that just because you are a part of a disenfranchised community does not mean that you can't have disenfranchising activities yourself. Just because you are gay does not mean that you cannot be racist, and quite frankly, we got to see that play right on the television, and I just don't know why anybody else didn't really like sense any of that. And if they did sense it, they just decided to go along with it. It's just classic beer pressure 101.
Yeah. I mean, really it comes up at the tribal council of, you know, like, that his problem with Bill, and, Colton says like, hey, like, I have plenty of black people in my life. And he gets asked like, well, who? And he says, my housekeeper. It's like, God. Well, she is part of my family. So bad.
Bill was really impressive in that moment. Like hearing him speak up for himself was like really comforting in a way to see that, you know, he didn't just take it in other ways that we've kind of seen throughout the season. Some of the other disenfranchised people not really say anything. He was so well spoken, and I felt for him so hard in that moment in the whole tribal. And I just wish he never agreed to go in the first place.
He seemed like a nice guy. He seemed out of place on Survivor.
Yes.
Yeah. He does seem like a really nice guy, and it didn't seem like he
wasn't his thing
equipped for that. I mean, but who really is ever equipped for a situation like that? Like that's, I mean, you know, you don't expect something like that to happen, and it does.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, Colton ends up having the medical evacuation, and ends up going out of the game. They think he has appendicitis. I think it turns out that it is not appendicitis, that it's some sort of like bacterial infection that he has, where like I've seen people say that he was faking an injury. I think he had something. It just wasn't ultimately what they thought he had. I do think he needed medical treatment. Serena, does Survivor and One World dodge a bullet here that Colton gets medically evacuated from the game?
All it took was some gas in the cecum to elevate the season slightly above. Obviously it's amazing, the ending. But yes, I think they really redeemed themselves by having Colton be removed here.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Definitely. I mean, I remember watching this season in my college dorm when I really should have been studying, but I could not look away because I was just like, this season is such a train wreck. And I remember when I got to the episode that Colton got medically evacuated, and I'm not proud of the moment, because as someone who wanted to be a doctor at some point, I do not really wish medical harm on anybody, but I have to admit that 18-year-old Amon was like screaming and jumping for joy when this happened, because it was like, yes, finally, no matter what it is, whether it's appendicitis or it was, quite frankly, excuse my French, the bullshit lining his intestines, mm-hmm. his ass is out of here. And I'm quite happy about it, because I mean, it's just poetic justice, right? Like, you spew so much negativity out into the world and then it comes right back at you. And then he still can't even bring himself to at least help the other person on the tribe that is at least his second in command in Alicia.
No,
and
good, give her good. Don't give her the idol either.
It's just like he will go down and like in a blaze of glory no matter what. And it's crazy. It's yeah. just crazy to me.
Yeah. He is, because him and Alicia are so terrible, like in the episodes where then they're together and they're just like that. Christina Cha does not get voted out of the tribal council where Monica Culpepper goes home. And they're so mean to her for no reason. Like, Christina Cha did not say boo to anybody. And they're just like, guess what, Christina? You're next. You're going home. There's nothing you can do. You're out next. So don't even talk to us. Get away from us. You can't sleep in the shelter. You're getting voted out next. You can go jump in the fire. Like, I was like, what did this woman do to you?
I feel so bad for her. I hated watching that part. I hated it. I was like, gosh, Christina. Like, what can she do? What can she do? Because she still tried to play the game. Obviously, yeah. It didn't really matter. Like, because they were going to target her whether or not she was saying anything or not saying anything, not doing anything, whatever. Yeah. But it was the worst watch. They are such bullies.
I didn't really feel bad for Christina, because a piece of me knew that, like, I mean, she in her confessional afterwards, she was like, look, like, it's game on. Like, I'm a fighter. Like, I know that they're, you know, coming after me, but I'm just going to try and do what I can and get myself out of the situation. And before the tribal council even happens, like, when she's still in the tribe with the women, she gets into it with Alicia. So she knows how to, like, yeah. get scrap when she needs to. So I didn't really feel bad for her in the moment, because I knew that her head was in the game when she's, like, you know, participating in the self-deprecation. Like, oh, maybe I am an idiot. Maybe I am just going to go home then. I'm like, yeah, like, fool them, Alicia. Or fool them, Christina. Fool them. But yeah, like, normally it's fun to watch drama on reality TV. Like, I'm here for a good fight. Like, I watch people argue and kiki with one another. That's fine. But the way that Colton and Alicia were going about it was just, there was no tongue-in-cheekness about it. There was no, you know, this is just for fun. This is just for TV. They were being horrible, like, purposefully. And it was just like, that's not fun to watch. Like, you're not compelling. You're just an asshole.
Yeah.
The other thing with her is that, like, throughout the season, like, we don't really see her come back up and, like, speak up for herself or, like, fight hard or, like, we miss that. Right. So that's where I still, like, was like, oof.
Amon mentioned mm-hmm. it, like, in the first tribal council, she gives it back to Christina for, you know, she says she's like, oh, or she gives it back to Alicia. She just, like blows up. She's like, because you're wrong. The only time she has any animation the entire season, the whole rest of the season is like, you don't belong here. You don't deserve this. We're voting for you tonight. You're going home. And she, okay. All right. I got it.
I mean, if I had to guess, pissed. She was probably just tired. Like, if you're dealing with Alicia, and no, she said it. She's like, Alicia, you are a very difficult person to be around. Like, she probably was just like, I'm done. Like, I've yelled at you. I've like fought with you in the bed. If you can even call that thing a bed, like, I'm tired. Like, Alicia, go ahead and do what you're going to do. Like, I don't want to argue anymore. Like, I don't blame her at all.
Yeah. All right. Well, then let's go to Alicia next, who does sort of like keep the torch going for Colton. Colton goes home, but Alicia remains for the rest of the season. And she ends up she's just like, why is she so mean? For no reason.
I don't know. I have no idea. It's like she had like a thorn stuck in her ass the whole time or something. And it was just like bothering her. And she couldn't stop like taking it out on the rest of the people, the rest of the cast, the entire time. Mm-hmm. And we never see it leave until we get to the reunion.
Yeah.
And she never really has anything to really back it up. I mean, I think the game gets easier for Alicia when there are less numbers around, because then in her mind she feels like she, you know, the people that she's in good with, she feels like she does this thing where she inserts herself into the power position after things have already happened, and you didn't really make that happen. It's just that the game is getting smaller and smaller, and so there's less people for you to like feel like you're actually controlling. And she's not as good as she thinks that
no,
she is.
No, so she's not. She's really terrible.
There's nothing for her to be this mean about. Like, at least if you're going to be mean, at least be good. Like, you're not good.
She's so arrogant also. And then she's like, I'm running everything. Like, even in the final tribal council, she's like, Kim, me and you, we're the two people that we run everything. It's like, no, you didn't run anything.
And Kim still playing the game is like, yep. Yes,
you played a terrible game.
She was clueless. Clueless.
I would much rather, because she was all like, I'm not a sore loser. I'm not mad at Kim. I wanted her to be a sore loser at that point. Because like, I was just like, no, don't give me that. Like, I'd rather you go out being pissed off that you were voted out because of Kim rather than try and spin this in your favor to make yourself look like the bigger person. Like, so, no, just be the smaller person for once.
She gets completely blindsided at the final five. And then she goes and does it. She's like, yeah, I got blindsided tonight. Stupid Christina. Like, the one person that voted with her. She has to go in there and like, oh, Christina, you stupid idiot. I hate you.
Christina, that's what I'm saying. I feel so bad for her.
it's a train wreck from start to finish.
Mm-hmm.
But it was very satisfying watching her get duped by Kim during that whole, that was great to see, great editing. I thought that Kim was kind of laying it on thick, because like I said, like when I watched this for the first time, I think I talked about this with you when we did the thing before Winners at War.
Yeah.
I was the biggest Kim hater. I hated her. I was like, oh my God, it's so obvious. Like, get her out of here. But upon the rewatch before Winners at War, and then upon the rewatch for this podcast, I mean, she really got Alicia good. And she just did the damn thing. So that was great to watch Alicia go through that unbeknownst.
Yeah, Kim has a really interesting game that, it gets talked about, you know, how great she is. But, you know, that the Kim's game that I really felt like I felt this on this time through is Kim is all about like having, you know, multiple paths. And she's going to like, okay, I could go with Jay and Troyzan, or I could go with the women. She's ultimately, when she sees, okay, this is the way to go, all right, now I'm all in with the women. But then a second time in the game, that comes up after they get rid of Troyzan. Kim has to make another decision. She has, again, two paths that she can go down that she's like really sort of like playing the middle, where she has the path to go with Sabrina and Chelsea, or she has the path to go with whether it's Alicia and Christina, or some version of Alicia and Tarzan or Kat, sort of like, do I go with the people who were my tightest allies, or do I go with some version of the bottom feeders that no one is going to vote for? And I found that decision making to be interesting at the end of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I also think it's like another thing just to speak on the cast, where there were so many people that were so delusional of their place in the ranking, in the hierarchy, that she could go to them and be like, I'm worried. Like, I feel like people are saying my name and like, I'm with you guys. I trust you. I trust that you're not going to do this to me and make those people feel like they actually had power when she was just like manipulating them to be on her side the whole time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Those people at the bottom, you know, that so there's like sort of like a, you know, Kim has a flirtation with going away from Chelsea and Sabrina. Like, I don't think I ever really caught that. I think that Chelsea and Sabrina were very tight also in the game. Like, I kind of feel like that it seemed to me like that, like Chelsea had a best friend in Kim, but then also was like the best friend of Sabrina. And I feel like that Kim and Sabrina, they have some conversations towards the end of the game, but I don't feel like that they were as tight as either of them were with Chelsea. But those were the three. And then at the bottom, you had these three like delusional players in Christina, Alicia, and Kat. And they're all like hating on each other and like trying to vote each other out, these three morons.
Like, it's right in front of your face. Kim is the one. She's winning everything. Everybody wants to be with her. Come on, get it together.
Yeah.
And they could never.
Kat's fixated. Oh, I got to vote out Christina. Alicia's like leading the charge. I gotta vote out Kat. Christina doesn't know what planet she's on.
I feel like I want to start calling Kim like if ASMR were a winner of Survivor, it'd be Kim Spradlin. It's because she talks in a very soothing, monotone voice. She keeps her voice very level. Her eyes are very piercing when she looks at you. She really explains everything in a very detailed manner so that you feel like whatever I'm telling you right now is the best decision for the both of us. So this is what you need to do. And even if you go home, it's not my fault. Remember that, okay? Because I tried to keep you here, all right? Like, it's just like, she's just, that's what she does. And one of the reasons why I feel like Sabrina is very underrated is because we get little confessionals from along the way where Sabrina's like, I know what Kim is doing.
Yes.
Like, she's, you know, she's got her little baby blue eyes and she finagles her way into people's, you know, minds and convinces them that she's the person that they need to go with. But Kim kind of has the killer instinct and Sabrina doesn't have enough of that. And I think it's really exemplified in that reward challenge where they get to, you know, do the majority rules competition
subjects.
And then chop.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so like Kim is the first one to take the swipe at Sabrina. And Sabrina's like, oh my God, Kim, really? And Kim's like, yes, really. Oh. Like, I'm like, you're like, we're on equal social level right now. And I know that people are going to come for me, so I got to come for you. So if Sabrina just had a little bit more of that edge, then maybe it'd be a more even game. But
you're right. She's the only one of the women that is able to clock Kim. You know, you hear like a couple of the men mention it, like, oh, Kim is the one running things. But Sabrina's like the only woman that like really ever notices, like, okay, what Kim is up to, and sort of like, okay, I'm better to have her on my side than to go against her. I think that a couple of things that were holding Sabrina back. One, I feel like, and I did an interview with her last year, and she told me her story of how she got on the show. I think that she was also a recruit. Like, I think she had a lot of good skills, but I don't think she knew the game as well as Kim did coming in. I think that was something. And then you see people like, even like Tyson or Parvati, they don't really know the game the first time they play. It takes them like two or three times before they really know what they're doing in terms of like having like that, you know, killer instinct to be able to make the big moves. I also just wonder, like, this is a season where, you know, there's only we have Bill and we have Sabrina, the only two black contestants on the show. If there was one or two other black women on that tribe, like, I think Sabrina very easily could have been somebody who people look at her like she was the Kim Spradlin, where she had more people who were working with her and having like more natural connections.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's definitely a possibility. I remember, I'm allowed to say this, I got a callback for Survivor a few years back, and Sabrina's audition video is one of the audition videos that they make you watch. And in her audition video, she's like all the streets of Brooklyn. And she's talking about like, look, y'all know y'all need some color on that show. Put me on that show. And I'm like, so wholeheartedly, if there were maybe a few more melanated folks in the cast, then maybe she would have had like an easier time establishing a foothold within those alliances. Because, I mean, where the second half of the season, it really is like the story of how Kim pulls everything together and puts it, you know, packages it up for the win for herself. Sabrina really is like the narrator at the beginning of the season. She really sort of like corrals all of the girls because the girls are a mess and they all love her. Like Chelsea says at the beginning, like, I want you to be the leader because you're very direct. You tell us what you think, but you're also not a person that barks orders. Like the social game is really down pack for her, but she just does not have like the game acumen that Kim does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that's also a piece of like her life outside of the game. Cause I think she was a teacher, a high school teacher. So like rallying all those girls is basically just like controlling like a high school, like a bunch of 6-year-olds all in one place. And also she was so well-spoken and they spoke about that. Like I think Chelsea mentioned or multiple people mentioned like, oh, she could really turn a jury with a couple of things that she says. So yeah, she had a good chance, but I agree that her game knowledge, she missed out on that compared to Kim.
Also, I think that Chelsea might be underrated by me as well. Like I never really thought of Chelsea as, you know, too much of a player. I think I always thought of her as, oh, she's like the Natalie Tenorelli to Kim's Boston Rob. But, you know, I do think I'm surprised that Chelsea didn't get any votes. And I don't think that's ever been explored where the whole season it's talked about, well, Chelsea, she's in good with all the guys. You know, she has like all the guys, you know, she was a hard worker around the camp. And then ultimately, nobody votes for her at the final tribal council.
Yeah, I mean, is she underrated?
I thought she played a great game. I think it also comes down to her relationships and where she spoke to a lot of people a little bit more, or at least it seemed that way, than Kim did. So like all the negative feelings kind of came down on her. Mm-hmm. So between Kim and Sabrina, like they weren't getting those like pissed off vibes from the jury. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of landing on Chelsea there because she had made good connections with them to a point where, you know, they felt offended that she had gotten rid of them.
Yeah. Even in the opening for the finale, they talked about like that Kim is the blah, blah, blah. And yeah. And they got like, they're like, Chelsea, she's the jury threat because of the connections. And it's like, oh, then she goes to the end and nobody votes for her.
Yeah. I mean, I guess there's definitely stuff to be said about her social game. Right. I just think that, you know, when you have the jury and they can all go to Ponderosa and compare notes over fire and beer, like it's going to make it really, really tough for her to scrounge any of those votes. Because I think for one thing, it's one of the things that the season really tried to pound into the narrative of men versus women is that men don't, you know, they're not emotional. They're able to sort of just like,
oh, they were emotional.
What needs to get done.
They were in their feelings.
So the fact that I'm sure a lot, I mean, Michael says it during the jury, like, yeah, Kim, you have to think about how you have pissed off all of these people. We know that you're responsible for our blind sides. So now we have to decide whether or not you are stupid for doing that or if it was all gameplay. And so, of course, when a lot of the men were like, we can't be mad at Kim, they're all going to be like, well, I don't want to be the one guy that votes emotionally. So let me just vote for Kim, which, you know, I think is the best was the best vote regardless of emotion anyway. So, yeah, it's just. I mean, maybe there's something to be said about Chelsea's game. I never really gave it that much thought, to be honest.
Yeah.
Because the edit is so Kim heavy.
Kim has to make this decision of, do I go with my friends? Do I go with Chelsea and Sabrina, who I have the better chance to lose to, but it's more of a locked in final three?
Yes.
Or do I go to the end with these losers that nobody is going to vote for, but I have to betray my friends? Ultimately, Kim ends up winning. I think she gets 7-2 to get the vote. We saw in Redemption Island, Boston Rob ends up like voting out like his closest ally in Grant to try to take the people that he felt like he had the best chance to win against in the final three. Serena, both players won, but went with different approaches. Do you feel like that we have a like an answer to like what should the Survivor Handbook say to do?
I think it's so hard with the how the game has changed, especially now. I don't think like the juries are thinking exactly the same way. Obviously, the cast knows more of how the gameplay works, and also the whole the setup of the speeches mm-hmm. is completely different. It's more of like a debate and arguing case now than it was, you know, watching Kim and Chelsea and Sabrina give their speeches. So I don't know. I think it could still be, I mean, I think it could still be changed as the game continues to develop and go on throughout the years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, first for Kim, that it all worked out. I think she did do it right, but I kind of feel like that maybe Kim might have been saved a little bit from herself in that at the final, I think it's the final seven when we see where Kat gets voted out. It seems mm-hmm. like that Kim is leaning towards, well, Sabrina is the best player here. We need to vote out Sabrina, and then she gets mm-hmm. talked into seemingly, and you never know with like the way the episodes get edited of voting mm-hmm. out Kat. I wonder, like, could Sabrina have gone to the jury now with Troyzan, and now potentially there's more of a chance of like a bitter jury turning on Kim?
Maybe. I think that that's, I mean, I think that that's what she, you know, thought of in her head was like, yeah, I feel like everybody, like Kat is just too hard to save right now. And even mm-hmm. if I feel like Sabrina is the bigger threat, I feel like the case that I'm building for myself, I sort of have to have a little bit more confidence in the game that I've played. Because when she does make that point, ultimately at the final tribal council, when it comes to keeping or getting rid of Christina and keeping her Sabrina and Chelsea, she says that exactly that, like, I just decided that it's better for me to keep the people here that know that I played a good game, because I felt like the game that I played was it shouldn't matter. And so that to me was like the best answer that she gave, and that's kind of like what solidified her win for me. It was like she was like, it was like a flex moment. It was like, look, I maybe there was a chance that Sabrina would get some votes, and there was. Sabrina does mm-hmm. get the votes, but she had to believe that she was probably going to get more, and then winning all of those immunity challenges at the end like was just like the icing on top of it. So, yeah.
We'll be right back to talk more about Survivor One World, talking about Tarzan coming up next. But first, I want to take a moment to thank a sponsor, and those are our friends over at Headspace, the app that makes meditation simple. Just 30 days of Headspace can lower stress by 32%, and just 4 sessions can reduce burnout by 14%. Headspace is your daily dose of mindfulness in the form of guided meditations in an easy-to-use app. Headspace is one of the only meditation apps advancing the field of mindfulness and meditation through clinically validated research. So, whatever the situation, Headspace really can make you feel better. Overwhelmed? Headspace has a 3-minute SOS meditation for you. If you need help falling asleep, Headspace has some great wind down sessions that members swear by. And for parents, Headspace even has morning meditations that you can do with your kids. Headspace's approach to mindfulness can reduce stress, improve sleep, boost focus, and increase your overall sense of well-being. I've been playing around with Headspace for years, that they have amazing animations that demystify meditation and make it something that's easily accessible that any of us can do, whether it's just in a quiet space, in your car, take a couple of minutes and get your head clear with Headspace. Headspace is backed by 25 published studies on its benefits, 600,000 five-star reviews, and over 60 million downloads. Headspace makes it easy for you to build a life-changing meditation practice with mindfulness that works for you on your schedule, anytime, anywhere. You deserve to feel happier, and Headspace is meditation made simple. Go to headspace.com/Rob. That's headspace.com/Rob for a free 1-month trial with access to Headspace's full library of meditations for every situation. This is the best deal offered right now. Head to headspace.com/Rob today. All right, let's get back to talking about Survivor One World with Iman and Serena. We have not talked at all about Tarzan yet. Serena, did you feel like, did Tarzan add or take away from the season for you?
I think he added. Mm-hmm. I have so many notes that say, why do people keep letting Tarzan speak? Mm-hmm. Why do they keep letting him talk to people? Every episode, he is speaking and you're like, shut up. You're ruining this. But it's fun to watch as a person. But I can imagine being there just like, I swear to God, I'm going to like rip this guy's eyeballs out. I can't stand it. Obviously, he had some like misogynistic things going on.
Yeah,
some
a lot conversations. Of things. Yeah.
And yes, he has his own downfall as a human, whatever. But I think he added to the entertainment and just the ridiculousness of like what he spoke out loud and did.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a great dictionary. I am a logophile.
Yeah.
I have an affinity for words.
A lot of people said he was a dictionary.
Well. Yeah. I thought that his way of speaking was quite colorful. He has the gift of gab. Survivor obviously didn't work out. He really should consider writing as well.
Yeah.
So I think that he added a lot to the season. What I did not like about Tarzan was the fact that he was so, he kept a lot of like what he really wanted to say in and say, like, because the game is afoot. Like, he seemed to think that production was also playing the game. It's like, because even in his confessionals, he wouldn't like reveal some of his plans. I'm like, what are you doing? Talk to us. Give us a reason to root for you, because yeah, there is something to be said about you making it as the last guy standing. I mean, you're not completely useless in some of the challenges. You were a reason as to why some of the challenges were even won. So like, you know, create a case for yourself. You're here. Like, play the game. So that was like the most frustrating thing for me. And you can also see that he doesn't, like, he lacks some tact and some social graces. He clearly is not able to relate or knows how to talk to some of, I mean, he says that Jonas is undermining him. Like, what? You are on a tribe, like on a beach in your underwear, and Jonas is under my, like, get out of here. Like, it's just,
it's wild. He has almost no impulse control, which is odd because you're right. He does like talk about the game at tribal council. Like, I shan't say because the game is afoot. I'm very coy, but also I can't help but blurt out "you bitch" to somebody after she wins the immunity challenge. You know, it's like it's a weird dichotomy with Tarzan.
I think that's also another thing with like his outside life, like being a surgeon, you have to like believe in yourself so hard because like you have people's actual lives in your hands. So you kind of have to have this ego where it's like you are the god of the island, even if you're not Choi Zan saying this is my island. And that kind of comes out definitely in the game where his ego stands before anybody else and is on top.
I thought it was hilarious when I forget who was supposed to get voted out that night. Whenever Colton was orchestrating a vote,
Monica
and trying to
Culpepper.
Tell him, Monica, yeah. when they were trying to get her out, and he came to him saying like, "Look, it's Monica, it's Monica, it's Monica," and Colton's like, "Oh my god, it's like he's old. It's like you have to keep telling him, or he's going to forget." And then at that very tribal council, he talks about how he has nominal aphasia. I just thought that was hilarious because it's not that he's old; it's just that he can't remember the name. Like, that's why.
Mm-hmm. And then he pauses on Monica. He's like, and Colton's like, oh my god, no. And that was amazing.
Jeff loves him, that they go through, and like once he gets rolling at the tribal council, they're asking him about his vocabulary, and then also then they're asking him, he said, well, you know, I have the nominal aphasia, and then Jeff's like, do you know everybody's name here? And they like do a quiz of go down those, and then the one guy, Jonas, he doesn't know. He's like, don't tell me. Don't tell me.
Starts with a J.
Starts with a J. And then they go back to camp. And then in the next episode, there's a whole thing about how like he hates Christina. He's like, he says to Alicia, you can be my friend in real life. You can be my friend. And then she's like, Tarzan, can I be your friend? He says, no, you cannot, but
guys,
I respect
I feel
you.
So bad for Christina. She's like, that's fair. No, it's not.
It's like, where is the grace? Like, you're a doctor. Like, you're supposed to have bedside manner. Yeah. I mean, I guess if you are a plastic surgeon, it's a very superficial branch of medicine, I guess you could say, especially if it's cosmetics and it's not, you know, for people that are amputees or something. So I guess you don't really have to have that much of a bedside manner, but damn. And then the whole thing with Jonas is like, waiting to bury the hatchet. Like, he's out of the game at this point. And he's like, I hope there's no hard feelings. And he's like, there will be. I'm like, he's gone.
He gets into it with Jonas about like Tarzan's like, I told Michael the plan. And Jonas is like, Tarzan, why did you tell him the plan? And he's like, Jonas, I don't like you. I don't like you anymore. I can't look at your face anymore. He tells him.
That's why you told him the plan?
Yeah. I can't look at you. And then that's the same episode that he gets into. We have the poop versus dirt debate.
Oh, God.
He knows about microbes.
The dirty draws.
Microbes. Okay,
not
great.
Not the dirty draws. Like, I mean, you're like, just respect the boundaries of the boiling water. No one wants to have boiling poop on their undergarments. Okay, even if you're boiling the poop, there's still poop in the water. Like, I just,
yeah,
like, the poop doesn't evaporate.
No.
Maybe the bacteria is dead. Maybe, but come on. Mm-hmm. And Sabrina is so funny. She's like, okay, like, you're telling me it's dirt, but I just want to know why all of the brown is concentrated in one area. Then, like, why is it
dirt.
Right there?
It's dirt.
She's like, I can't even look in that direction.
So one of the things I totally forgot about from this season, the next episode after the merge, Chelsea has like a good hate into Tarzan after this. She can't look at him. And he says, I'm getting the sense that Chelsea doesn't like me. I feel like she's subliminally harassing me. I think I know why. And he pulls her aside and he says, you know, I think I know why you don't like me. It's because I'm a plastic surgeon and you must have some ill will towards your plastic surgeon. She's like,
I can't.
I'm not doing this.
That happened. I've seen this season before and I was still like, there is no way he just said that. There is no way we're talking about her boobs and that's why she doesn't like him in this game. There's no way.
Revoke his license.
What I keep saying, who keeps letting Tarzan speak? Who keeps letting him speak?
Now, that being said, I think it's an interesting discussion. We talked about Philip 2 weeks ago of, is there more than meets the eye, though, with Tarzan? You know, we talked about all this bad behavior that goes on. It seems quite clear he cannot control his impulses. But at moments, there are moments of clarity where it seems like, at times, he has a better understanding of the game than anybody except for the Kim, Chelsea, Sabrina trio.
Yeah, I mean, he, as the game gets down to the wire, it becomes clear that he is, you know, he's been thinking and he hasn't just been spitting out words to impress people the entire time. And so, I think that there definitely is redeeming qualities. I mean, even with Chelsea, like, by the time it came time to get rid of Tarzan, she was like, I will feel so bad to get rid of him. Like, I consider him to be like my dad out here. And it's like, 3 days ago, yeah, we're arguing about boiling poop. So he clearly, you know, has a few things in his belt that will help him, you know, stay afloat. But
yeah, when his wife came, I think that really the quantum entanglement, I think, earned him some points with the women.
Even when we were talking about like Sabrina, like whether Kim was going to let her go to the jury, like Tarzan was speaking about the jury, like, hey, if you keep me around and you want to take me out next, that's fine because I will communicate to the jury that you're the winner, even though I don't think that it would have worked, yeah, actually, if he did it. But obviously he was thinking mm-hmm. about those steps to get himself to those next spots. And once you get down to, like, you know, the final four, it's only like a little bit of skill and a lot of luck mm-hmm. until you're in the final three. So yeah, mm-hmm. it was like, oh, he is playing. He does yeah. have like these really intellectual thoughts that are going through, that are strategical. Finally, we're like seeing some of it.
His boot mm-hmm. episode at the final six is actually a really interesting episode, because Kim, we had been wavering at the last vote at seven of, should I vote out Sabrina or should I vote out Kat? Ultimately, she agrees to vote out Kat because Chelsea wants to do it. And then also Alicia wants to do it. I think Alicia, like, she loses her shot to really just run away with it by, if she would have kept kept Kat and kept, you know, her, Alicia, Kat, and Christina and Tarzan, they would have had four. They could have gone to the end and, you know, knocked out the Kim, Chelsea, and Sabrina trio. But they get rid of Kat, but they have one last shot at it when Tarzan is like, hey, all right, Alicia and Christina, we have three. If we put our three on one of their three, we can force a tie. And what happens is that Kim ends up going on a reward. Chelsea wins the reward, and she takes Kim and Sabrina on the reward, and they basically like lock it down. Like, Kim never wavers mm-hmm. after they go on the boat ride and say, okay, this is the three. But Tarzan is like getting them all worked up, and it's like, hey, all right, the three of us, we got to do this tonight. And then Kim comes back and so easily just like pulls the red wire and just completely diffuses the Tarzan bomb.
Yeah,
they were so fragile to begin with. Yeah. There was like barely yeah. holding them any together. It was literally like just mud. And then Kim is just a strong breeze and blows it over.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it's the comparing of the notes and, you know, sharing how Tarzan said this to you and Tarzan said this to you. And then Christina just comes in loud and wrong, like, oh my god, he said the same thing to me, we got him, guys, we got him, girls. And it's like, oh man, Kim, like, you really just mm-hmm. these are the redeeming moments of the season. You get to see stuff like this. I mean it's Christina yeah. and Alicia we're talking about, but still.
Well, we get to see it probably like four or five times in the season where Kim uh-huh. basically with just only with her manipulation is able to get like four or five different people to make the exact wrong move just by talking mm-hmm. to them. And it happens with, you know, she comes into the merge and then she's able to, you know, keep Jay and Troyzan on voting out Jonas. And then the next vote, she has this one-on-one with Troyzan where she's like, hey, Troyzan, Michael's coming to get you. And Troyzan's like, oh man, like, I can't believe it. That guy, he's gotta go. He's coming after me. She totally made mm-hmm. that up. And that seals the fate for the men, because then mm-hmm. once the women are up by two, then there's no looking back. And then Troyzan is like starting to get suspicious. And then she tells Jay about the, like, she somehow Jay, look, another, you know, he's not in Mensa either, that she tells talks to him. He's like, yeah, my final three is me and Kim and Chelsea. I gotta throw Troyzan under the bus.
I mean, Jay was kind of just ready to work with the women. Like, he's had multiple confessions where he was like, I don't mind working with these women. Like, I will do it. Like, screw the man. Like, mm-hmm. he said everything. But so, I mean, it didn't really take that much work. So, yeah, I mean, I understand the age old question when it comes to Kim. Is it that she's just really good, or is it that the players that she's with are just not great players? But like you just said, the fact that there are so many opportunities in mm-hmm. which she is presented options, and 90% of the time she makes the correct decision of least damage to herself, that is the mark of a good player. So yeah, she strikes again.
Yeah, it's very impressive. We get to see a lot of her work, Serena.
Yeah, it was, and I know, yeah, like Aman just said, like, people question whether it is the cast, but it's like, you unlike Tarzan, you see her steps, you see her thought process, you see her realize like, oh, I didn't bring Kat on this reward challenge. Like, this could be like the first chip in my downfall right here. Mm-hmm. Like, she knows when she makes a mistake, and that's some real like self, like understanding to be able to see that in yourself, that like, this was a mistake and understand it right away. I mean, it was as soon as Troyzan left, it was just like a runaway show. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, you know, pick or choose a lane for her. And it was like, again, I was pierced by her big blues to be yeah. like, all right, she's winning. I mean, the first time I watched anyway.
And I know people, you know, want to kind of knock Kim down a peg because she didn't come back and win in Winners at War. But Amon, she was right there. I mean, that if it wasn't for Tony ending up like she Kim kind of had a lane there to ultimately win in season 40.
Definitely. I mean, a lot of people were very hard on her because they wanted to see. Survive. What season is this? 24?
24.
Yeah, 24. They wanted to see season 24 Kim at season 40, and that's just not going to happen. And then on top of that, like the threat level that she already has because of the, like, I blame y'all. Y'all were the ones that hyped her up, audience, RHAP patrons. Like, y'all. No, not you two. But, okay.
Probably me. Probably me. I mean, let's be fair, Amon.
I mean, true. You've probably done podcast after podcast with Kim, mm-hmm. only to raise her threat level. So, yeah. She.
We talked
I think
her
that
up.
her game still stands the testament of time. So
yeah. No, it really holds up. It's super impressive on the rewatch. Are you ready to hear my good list and bad list from the season?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm ready.
All right. It's a little bit shorter this week. Okay. On the good list, let me say this. Kat is funny.
Is she?
Does she hold up? What do you think?
I didn't.
You don't think she's funny?
She's really cute and seems like she would be fun to hang out with. I don't think I ever laughed at anything.
Yeah. Okay. Amon, settle the debate. Did you enjoy Kat?
Yes, I enjoyed Kat. I did. I enjoyed Kat. I thought that she definitely brought stuff to the table.
Youth.
She brought youth. Mm-hmm. She brought spunk. She brought heart. And she brought the blind side.
She has so many things in the season. she doesn't know what ambiance is. she seems concerned that she could catch appendicitis. she has the moment with her cousin. She has so many things.
Can we talk about the appendicitis real quick?
Yeah.
I love how they're like, oh, yeah, Colton got ejected for appendicitis. And she's like, what is that? And then I don't know who it is. Kim is like, it's like right here. And then she's like, oh, okay. I'm like, do you get it? Is that all it took for you to get it?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I mean, she's not mean to anybody. I mean, I think that of like,
no,
you
not.
Know, I think it's just she's pretty, she brings some levity to the season.
And I like that she really, really wanted to be there. I like that she, you know, I liked what she had to say at the final tribal council where she talks about, oh, I really wish that were me. I'm so angry that it's not. But like, I don't want to be angry. I don't want this to sour the experience that I have had because at the end of the day, I'm still here. So, yeah, I liked that about Kat.
Mm-hmm.
And it was hard for Kim to blindside her. Like, it wasn't easy. Like, Sabrina and Chelsea, they were out for blood. They were like, you didn't choose us, or you said screw you to Christina, whose dad just went through surgery, and then you didn't let the oldest couple here have time on an island. Like, screw you, get out of here. But Kim was like, oh, damn, like, I feel bad about this. So, clearly Kat, you know, through all of her antics, is still very endearing to people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she won that family reward, and she's like, I'm getting drunk!
Yeah. That was, yeah. Yeah.
she was interesting. Maybe they didn't need to bring her back the second time. But I feel like here, Kat 1.0, I wasn't mad at it.
the crawling on all fours to see her cousin, the secret language that they were definitely speaking.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. They have an auction here. I think that the auction is fun.
I like the auction.
You know what? Yes. Bring the auction back. That, you know what's ruining the auction? Letters and advantages. Get them the hell out of here.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We want cake.
Give them cake.
I want to be able to eat peanut butter with my bare hands at a shower. Yeah.
Yes. I mean, Kim wins the auction, Amon.
She does. Like, how are they letting her do this? I just don't understand. Like, I don't understand.
Christina, I remember being... and the advantage.
Yeah. Okay. So that there's Troy Zan's holding out. He needs the advantage. Okay. And then it comes up, and Christina and Troy Zan both have the full $500, and they get into this very weird bidding war where it's, I think Troy Zan's like $300, and she's like $360. Like, everybody's like, Christina, come on. You gotta get the advantage. Don't let Troyzan get it. And he's like, 420. And she's like, all right, I'm out. That's it.
What do you mean?
Too rich for my blood.
It's like, is there something in the contract or the, like, if you don't spend your money at the auction, you get it back as soon as you land back in the States?
So
like,
I can tell you about this. So that Tarzan wanted to keep his money because his car needed new shocks. He ultimately buys his letter, but he says that he's going to keep the money. You do get to keep the money after the auction. At least you did back then. I don't know about now, but Amon, I had money left over from the auction, and then there was a fire in our camp, and I lost $240 from the auction. I was so pissed.
Not up in flames. Not up in flames. That sucks. I'm sorry to hear that. Well, I mean, that makes it make a little bit more sense that she would hold on to it. But I mean, all right, Christina. Like, no wonder Alicia is calling you dumb because
yeah,
that was not your shining moment at all.
Yeah, it's just, you know what, they don't do the auction anymore after Worlds Apart, and I guess we'll get into more of that when we get to Worlds Apart, where it's like, oh, the auction is broken because they figured out if everybody only wants to spend $20, just let people bid on food. Have no advantages and no letters. Say it up front. It's just for food. Let's get back, we don't have enough survivors just having like light moments on the show. Everything is so advantage, look for stuff. Let people drink margaritas and all eat a cake at the same time for a couple of minutes.
They make that stuff look so good. Like, I will have had like a full course meal and still watch an episode of a Survivor auction and be like, oh, I want it.
Yeah.
It always looks so appetizing.
Yeah. It's fine. All right, I want to talk about Troy Zan a little bit.
Yes.
Because I think Troy Zan is a polarizing character, but I have Troy Zan and his run on my good list. Troy Zan, he is alive in the show until episode 11. That this is a deep run for Troy Zan. He's a foil for Kim. A person who is, trying to bring her down. He's a bad sport, but he is, compared to some of the other people who do terrible things, I mean, Troy Zan is relatively benign in this season. And unlike in Redemption Island, where we talked about, like, after the merge, it's a complete runaway for Boston Rob, at least there's somebody out there into episode 11 that's trying to throw Kim under the bus.
I don't even know if I would even consider him a bad sport, Rob, because I mean, like he said, like when he won that immunity, it was like, finally, like y'all have to choose somebody else. Like I'm tired of this. Like if you had the entire tribe after you, you would be like, you would be puffing your chest too. So like,
he got salty.
Yeah. He did get salty, but like, I'd be salty too. Like it's like you're starving. I mean, you know, I don't have to explain this to you. Like you played the game. It's just like, I felt for the guy. I did. Like, maybe he should have remembered his social tact, and this is a social game at the end of the day. So if you want to get votes, like, and if you want to stop being the person that's on the chopping block repeatedly, then maybe you should try to ingratiate yourself with these people on some level. But I get the frustration, man. I would have been like, yeah, this is my island too.
Mm-hmm.
Everything. I own everything. The palm tree down there, the grain of sand over there, the coconut over there. Like, it's all mine. Mine, mine, mine.
I mean, I'm telling you, when I blacked out the beginning of the season, I really didn't remember when I was like saying, oh, I liked Troyzan. I liked that he was like this underdog fighting against everybody. And that's how I got on this episode. Maybe he wasn't the best sport, but he definitely wasn't the worst ever, or mm-hmm. at least the worst person either.
Worst person.
I was rooting for him my first time watching this. I wanted him to win that slip and slide. It was very anticlimactic, I will say that, him losing that competition. But yeah, he was definitely in my like top characters. He is like, he's definitely one of like the emotional guys that you see. I feel like easily manipulated when we see that interaction with Mike and Kim, and just like how he can like flip and flop his opinion so easily, or so it seemed. I really enjoyed Troyzan in the season.
Yeah.
So I was about to call you Troyzan, Rob. What the hell?
Hey.
Rob, so do you think that Troyzan is one of the people that voted for Sabrina, right?
Yes, yes. I think him and Leaf, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Do you think that Troyzan's vote for Sabrina was against Kim, or do you think it was actually for
Sabrina?
Yeah,
I hate to say it. I think it was a vote against Kim as opposed to being a vote for Sabrina. I think that so he asks Kim a question at the final tribal council, and he's like, Kim, what was the when was the move when you had me beat? And she says it was when we voted out Jonas. But he, you know, his story is that he felt like that there was one of the votes, Kim like told people what to do on like the boat ride to tribal council, which is supposed to be like during a timeout. And he was very bothered by the fact that, you know, that she was like, you know, talking game when it was supposed to be a lockdown. I think it happens. I think it happens a lot on different seasons. You're not supposed to do it, but I think he felt like that was cheating what she did. And so, mm-hmm. and maybe it was like a, you know, 51-49, but it came across as though he was bitter with Kim. I think they're good now. I think they've talked things through, but, you know, he definitely was not happy with Kim at the final tribal council.
I did not know that little tidbit of information. Interesting, Kimberly. Interesting, Miss Spradlin. Mm-hmm. That's quite interesting.
Yeah. Look, that survivors, the survivors talk. You know, you're not, so they tell you, you know, not to, but it happened. People are pointing, you know, mm-hmm. back and forth. You know, they're putting your mic pack on to go to tribal council. You can't completely stop it. I mean, obviously the production doesn't want that because people are, you know, they're not filming it. They want to like make a TV show. They're like paying a lot of people to film people for a TV show, and they don't want stuff to happen when they're doing, like, I'm sure it happens like on like a Big Brother where like, okay, it's like a lockdown and they're not supposed to be talking game stuff. And then these things happen.
The game is always afoot.
Yeah,
the game is afoot. Somebody just said, strip her of her title. Can mm-hmm. you imagine?
Yeah. So, yeah, he wasn't a great sport about Kim, but in fairness, like compared to like these other people who are just like bumps on a log, like Christina, at mm-hmm. least that he was like fighting. I think that's like the best thing that you could say. I think maybe at the reunion show, maybe he says that, you know, people tell him he was the greatest survivor ever, but he's the best survivor mm-hmm. since Richard Hatch. That came across a little bit like conceited, but overall,
adversity does not make a good survivor player.
Like, yeah.
Just because all the girls are against you does not mean that you are, you know, the greatest of all time.
Yeah. But overall, that he was, I thought, very, very fun here.
Yep. I agree.
Yeah. I mean,
definitely more positive than negative for me, too.
Yeah. So, I mean, he had a few comments about the women that were not great, but I don't even know if he's in the top five in this season of people saying things that aren't great.
I mean, I think a virtue of just like not saying anything, you're definitely on the higher up on the list of the rankings.
Yeah. I liked it when the pig came.
Yep.
That was fun.
So did they.
That was fun, right?
So did they. I enjoyed Sabrina's enthusiasm about the pig. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah. They're so excited.
Like, I always wonder, do the pigs, they're just roaming the island, right? Like, producers aren't like ushering in a pig and releasing it into the environment to see what the hamsters are going to do, right? Like, that pig just moseyed in of its own accord.
Yeah. And... Okay. Yeah, the pig was like, I mean, I don't think they would have been allowed to do anything with the pig, even if they caught it. But, you know, like when I'm rewatching these seasons, like I like seeing something that I haven't really seen too often on the show. And like everybody trying to catch a pig one day, that was at least something.
Yeah, it was a nice like part two to the beginning of the chicken chase.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, okay, now we're still having fun here. We're still having a good time, even though $1 million is on the line and everybody hates each other.
Mm-hmm.
And there's poop in the pot.
Yeah. I don't know, that might be it for my good list. I think we tackled a lot of the stuff that was from the good list.
I feel like one thing my good list was like to see the women work together and come out on top. I mean, I'm biased, but like from the beginning of the season where they were like getting demolished and it was like so hard to watch and like you're still rooting for them, but you're like, please, like the women need this in the world. And then we get like the final of all the women. And yeah, that was really, really awesome and inspiring.
Serena, that's a good point. So we have all final five, all the women are in the final five or it's all woman final five. Mm-hmm. I feel like that this season is not celebrated to the degree that the all women final four from Survivor Micronesia is.
Yeah, I think because of the fact that Kim is such a dominating force, like I feel like a lot of people just sort of like ascribe everything to her, and they sort of do kick Sabrina to the wayside, they kick Chelsea to the wayside, and then you have Alicia and Christina who are just, you know, like as you described, a bump on the log for Christina, and then Alicia is just like they didn't necessarily get there because all of the women were women strong. And even Kim herself at the beginning of the season was like, I'm not the biggest fan of women strong. So I feel like if you can't even like really be all in that together, then that might be a reason as to why it's not. But I agree, Serena. I think that I enjoyed watching the women sort of knock all of the men out and the men just completely fold. And a lot of it having to do with the fact that one of the guys that wasn't considered a guy was like the catalyst to that. I thought it was just fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not really celebrated, this final five. I wonder if maybe the difference might be, Serena, do you think that the way that the women got to the final five here, as opposed to the narrative from Survivor Micronesia, where in Survivor Micronesia that it's like, oh, the Black Widow Alliance, whenever they show like the montage of like Eric giving the immunity necklace away, it's like the women manipulated the men to get to the final four, where I feel like that here the men imploded. Is more of the storyline than necessarily like there's like almost like no showmances in this season. There's very little of like the women just manipulating the men in any sort of like nobody is like flirted with or seduced in this season.
Yeah, I mean the thing is that like the men were so weak. So that it didn't need to be such like a like womanly like embodiment to control them. They just acted like regular people and they manipulated them in that way. And that was it. And because it wasn't like a woman thing to do to a man, maybe that's why it doesn't come off as strategical, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was a pogonging. It was. I mean, the men were pogonging themselves.
So all right, What about on the bad list? The season starts off with a medical evacuation. Not ideally how you want to come out of the gate, Amon.
Not at all. I mean, I'm not sad about who it was that went, but not good. Not good starting off, definitely.
Yeah. In hindsight, bad challenge, Serena.
I mean, he says to like fall on your back, cross your arms, just listen to the rules.
Oh, maybe. I thought we were talking about Colton. I completely forgot about what's her face?
Courtney, M-O-O-N.
Yes, I forgot about her.
The broken rest.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. That was bad. Yes. Sorry, Courtney.
Yeah.
So, I was like, oh, I don't know anything about her.
We have two, like in the first six episodes, like the pre-merge is rough in this season for many reasons. But in six episodes, we have two episodes with a medical evacuation and then a tribal council and nobody goes home. Twice that happens in the first six episodes.
Yeah. I had a question, because that kind of felt really unfair to me that the guys got to automatically win just because one of the girls broke their wrist. Like, I just felt like that should have just been it. I mean, ultimately, that's kind of like what ends up happening. But the fact that like Jeff even gave them that option just felt very like, why? Like, why? Doesn't make much sense.
To create more animosity. And that's
true. It is a TV show. That's true.
I do think that the production is worried about the tribes getting lopsided, especially when it's a men versus women season. Like, I'm sure that they were thrilled. And I do wonder, like, if maybe producers might have been, like trying to, like, rile Colton up to, like, hey, maybe you should just go to tribal council where to try to get the numbers back even. Because I think that probably their worst fear for this season would have been the men pagong the women. It wasn't the most exciting season to have the women just pagong the men, but I think the absolute worst case scenario for this season
that's
is
a more palatable ending, definitely.
Yeah,
is to have the women succeed over the men.
Yeah, definitely. Like the men, this not so great group of men ultimately pagong the women, and then so you have Courtney potentially out of the game, and then if the women end up losing a second person in this first episode, like I think they just felt like it could completely like send the season into a spiral.
I agree. Yeah.
All right.
Definitely.
We haven't talked about this yet. This is a big one on the bad list. We have a couple of DIY challenges in this season. Serena, we have the tribes. They get a box, and the box is a reward challenge, and there is no Jeff Probst, and the contestants host the competition like it's the Big Brother backyard.
Yeah, that was weird. When I first saw that, I was like, what? Wait, is this a real challenge? Like, I'm confused.
I forgot all about this.
Yeah, it was like, it wasn't even like a good, fun thing. It's just like,
it was so weird.
Let's untie a rope. And then in the other one, it was just ladder ball.
Yeah.
Like, what the heck is this?
Yeah.
This isn't what I signed up for.
Amon, this thing happened, okay? Why on earth, when they got back and got in the edit room, they say, oh, keep this in the show. Like, you didn't have to air it. You could have just done it and tried it and said this didn't work, and you didn't have to put it in the episode. No one would have missed it.
Somebody, whoever was the showrunner, the head honcho in charge, was clearly off. I guess they caught appendicitis and got medevaced themselves, and whoever was left just had to figure out what they were going to do for that week.
Yeah. I want to say, I think there's one other season where there's maybe it's Samoa. Like, there's like another season where, for whatever reason, Jeff's not there for a challenge. But I remember like in the preseason, they talked about like, oh, this season we're going to try some challenges that we think it'll be interesting to have the cast do challenges on their own. I don't get it. Where like what the thinking was, where Jeff was like in his contract of like, I can't do all these challenges. I need a couple of built-in days off. I'm not doing 13 challenges, 13 reward challenges. I'll do 11.
I mean, it's CBS.
I'm busy that day.
is no stranger to just being like, just flinging stuff at the wall and seeing what sticks. Like, we see it a lot more in Big Brother, and it happens in Survivor too. So,
yeah. So, I don't, it's so weird. There's the one tribal one, and then later on in the season, there's a do it yourself reward challenge that Troyzan kind of hosts. Serena, which was worse? The untangle the ropes do-it-yourself challenge or the throw the bolo challenge?
I like ladder ball, so I think that was the better one.
Okay, you like the one that Troyzan hosted.
They untie like 1,000 ropes this season, I feel like. Like, mm-hmm. for every immunity, every reward, yeah. there's like 6 things to untie.
And throw coconuts on a trampoline.
Yes. Yes, they reuse everything. So we didn't need that one.
Yeah. Aman, did you have a favorite of the do-it-yourself challenges?
I agree with Serena.
Yeah. It was so weird. So weird.
And they were so bad at ladder ball. Like, come on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Troyzan is hosting it. It's like, and the crowd goes wild. it was so unsettling. The whole thing.
Jeff Probst, he is not.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. Overall, like the Manono tribe, like the men's tribe is bad to begin with. Like, it's not a fun group.
It's in the name, right? Like, if you're a man, it's a no-no.
It's a man no-no. We have the whole situation of, like, the Roosters versus the Misfits. Serena, what do you think of the Roosters?
Oh, gosh. That was... I understand what he was trying to say, but he already kind of combined Troyzan in with the chickens or whatever. Mm-hmm. So it was just, like, insulting to be keep talking about, like, We're roosters. Even though I kind of said you were a chicken earlier and you laid eggs and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Someone was just saying, like, that's like the... this was lower than the Malolo low.
That's low. Aman, any thoughts about the original version of the Manono tribe?
I mean, I feel like these seasons, like the mid-20s, I feel like it's a very... common instance for the roosters of the tribe, the strong men of the tribe, to get voted out first. And so I was very spoiled heading into later seasons of Survivor and the seasons of Big Brother, where I just expected that to be the norm. So, I mean, it's your usual stuff where it's, you know, a really cocky guy gets, you know, the better of himself.
Yeah.
And gets out of there, especially when you got somebody like Colton on there who's actively working against you. Like, it was just a recipe for disaster.
Yeah. The Roosters, it was Matt, Mike, Jay, and Bill got roped into being one of the Roosters, and Colton was going to target them. Ultimately, we're going to get a swap, and we end up with a new version, a new Manono. And new Manono is also a particularly like awful grouping of that we get, you know, Troyzan and Alicia there to gang up on the likes of Christina, Leaf, Tarzan is there, and then poor Jonas and Monica Culpepper. Colton would call them the peasants compared to the Greek gods.
Like, screw you, Colton, first of all. Second of all, when I rewatch this again, I always forget how early Monica goes home. I guess I conflate Monica's seasons in my head. And so I'm more, like, familiar with the season that she makes it to the finals. I'm like, oh, my God, they really did her ass dirty this season. Like, they just got her, like, for what? Like, y'all were losing, and she clearly was better than all of you. It was just, like, you just got done calling them peasants, and then you go for the strongest. It just didn't make any sense at all.
Serena, they love Monica Culpepper in this season.
I was so surprised when I rewatched this again. I forgot again, like Aman said, like how early she's gone, and she's
a hard worker.
I like her, but yeah. It was like, you guys are so, there's so many times throughout the season, I'm just like, these people are so stupid and I hate them.
Yeah. So they vote out Monica Culpepper. Again, she's like the only, they have like some basketball game. She's the only person that scores a basket. I don't know why that anybody felt like Monica Culpepper was a threat, but she had to go. They had to vote out Monica Culpepper. After Monica Culpepper goes home, Tarzan starts wearing Monica Culpepper's shirt. And later on in the season, he not only wears Kat's shirt, but he also then wears Kat's underwear on his head, which is like I could kind of see the T-shirt. We never got the reason why Tarzan wanted Kat's underwear on her head. And then it comes up at tribal council while she's on the jury.
And doesn't she cry?
I don't think she cries because of that.
I thought they were talking about specifically the panties, and then you.
Well, maybe she should have cried because they were like, "Tarzan, you can't put those on your head. The microbes."
Oh my god!
Kat's like, "What's wrong with my
this
microbes?"
This season on RuPaul's Drag Race, Tarzan. No, yeah, like he's a mess.
I do wonder though if Tarzan did that. There was some intention in what he did, where he was like, okay, well, I'll really try to act the fool so that people underestimate me. You know, it's hard with him, both him and Philip. Like, there's moments of like, oh, like they're doing something that actually makes sense, and then there's times when they just seemingly have no self control.
I just think I think for them, like, they know that they're not liked, and they're trying to make themselves feel better about their social standing. So they're like, "Well, I'm just going to give it to you all the way." Then I don't think it's strategic. I think it's just they're trying to make sense of the fact that they are on the bottom of the totem pole by making it seem like they have an active role in actually doing it, when really no. Because like, we see how you act on the regular. Like, this isn't new. This started before you started boiling poop and putting underwear on your head.
I haven't talked too much about Jonas. I enjoyed Jonas here in this rewatch. Anything about Jonas?
Cool.
Yeah, it's fine, Serena.
I like Jonas. I remember watching the first time, I hated him. Mm-hmm. I thought he was so annoyingly easy to like. Please, him saying that he would be Colton's bitch, like, that infuriated me watching. The second time around, it was not as annoying because I knew it happened anyway. But yeah, he's just like, he's a nice guy to see on the screen. And he had some interesting things to say. I want to say he was like the best character. But
in the final tribal council, Jonas is wild. He comes out and he addresses the group. He's like, "So you can all address me as Yes Master Jonas." And he's like, I'm kidding. And then he's like, and then he says, Chelsea, that me and the guys have all said that you are the hottest girl on the season.
Oh, God.
But yeah, it doesn't mean I'm going to vote for you.
Ponderosa was treating him well. He was having the time of his life.
Jonas was wild at the final tribal council. This is something I talked about on Redemption Island, and I sort of like raised an eyebrow during Redemption Island, but I guess it's just a thing for this point in Survivor history. I do think it ends up being something that makes it easier for a Kim or for a Boston Rob, but Troyzan plays his idol at whenever it is that Jay goes home. I think it's the final 10. Idol never gets rehidden.
But yeah.
It really ends up for the person who is sort of like the leader of the group. I think that this makes that pagonging easier the rest of the way. Like, there's no, like, if this was Survivor, 39, Troyzan plays that idol at the final 10. Next episode, Troyzan is, out finding another idol.
Yeah.
Yeah. We complain so much now about like how many idols there are out in these streets nowadays. Mm-hmm. As much as they can be a lag on the season, they can actually support the season by helping people that are in a really bad situation. But to be honest, like, even if that idol had got put back into circulation, I really feel like one of the women would have found it before Troy Sivan would have found it, because if they would have been looking for that idol, like they would have all been like making sure that he, like, I just feel like it probably was a foregone conclusion anyway.
By the way, Sabrina gets an unlucky break in that she finds an idol in the beginning of the season, and then the idol says, oh, you have to give this is the other tribe's idol, you have to give it to somebody from the other tribe, which was kind of a lousy break. Like, Kim finds the idol, Kim finds is like, oh, you found the real idol for this camp, but Sabrina happened to find the one. It wouldn't, I mean, she got to the final three, it wouldn't have changed anything, but kind of an unlucky thing that she finds the idol is just to give to Colton, which ultimately Colton takes out of the game.
Yeah. I did have on my list, like, oh, it was kind of nice, like, the amount of idols that were available throughout the game, but obviously we only saw the one get played, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, it was nice the amount that was available, but then we don't even see all the action taken throughout the season, so it's like only one ever existed. So it was still unbalanced there.
Kim finds an idol. She ultimately doesn't play it at the final five. She just, even though Chelsea wants her to, she ultimately doesn't play it. I also said that the finale is a snoozer. I said that that final six episode was good, but there's almost no drama in the finale. That we see Kim, she wins all the immunities. She's really like has her mind made up that she's going to go to the end with Sabrina and Chelsea, and then it's just like a cakewalk for her. It's nice to see Alicia blindsided, and then it is funny when she just tells Christina like, "Yeah, Christina." Yeah, we're going to vote for you. And she says, well, it is what it is.
Maybe it's just the super fan in me, but I, like, one of the, because there's always like a big, gigantic final immunity, right? Where the person that wins knows that they're going to be safe. And Kim's last win is always one of the final wins that sticks out in my mind. Kim's win, Jeremy's win, and Boston Rob's win are some of the wins that really just resonate in my mind. And I just really enjoyed as a super fan watching, as someone who wants to play this game and wants to win this game, you could just tell Kim was just like, finally, like, I have been through so much. Mm-hmm. These people are crazy and I am safe. Like, so I really enjoyed that part of the finale.
The final tribal council also has a couple other interesting moments. Serena, I really like when Christina Cho, we talked about how, like, okay, she's so mild-mannered the whole season, and then day 39, she has the chance to talk to Chelsea, and her question is, Chelsea, why do you hate people?
I don't understand her, like, what's going on. Like, it was so great in that first episode, and then she becomes a completely different person, and then it's like she's trying to make her way back. Like, when she starts having that conversation with Troy Sivan, maybe that's just the edit, but, like, not that that was a good conversation, but it's like, we're trying to get there, but we don't know how to get back, and we've completely forgotten who we were at the beginning of this. I just feel so bad for her.
Yeah. Let's talk about the reunion, because it's an interesting reunion. Last reunion that they would ever have in New York City. Every reunion since then has been filmed in Los Angeles. This is the last time they're at the Ed Sullivan Theater in New York City. And we go there, we count the votes. Jeff has like a little bit of a misfire in the very like opening moments of the reunion. He asked Kim a question, and then he's like, all right, and he's like hyping up that they're going to talk to Colton. He's like, Matt, tell me, how could the guys have let Colton talk them into going to tribal council? He's like, Jeff, I don't know. I was already voted out at that point. He's like, all right. Well, who was there? Mike, you were there. What do you think?
That was embarrassing.
Not a Julie Chen moment, no.
And when I watched that, I was like, oh, okay, so the edit really worked in his favor, too.
They very quickly get to, all right, we got to talk about Colton. Got to tell you, there's been a lot of, like, half of the reunion show is about Colton. I noticed that they changed up the order of seating, where that Bill Posley, who looks like he just was going to be heading out to the prom after the Survivor reunion. So Bill got voted out, then Monica got voted out, and then Colton was out of the game. But they made Bill have to sit next to Colton at the reunion show just so they could they ask him questions about Colton.
I also noticed that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it just goes to show just like how much the show relied on him as a character, and like how low is the season if you have to rely on somebody like that and then pretty much subject Bill to the exact same mistreatment that he already got and make him relive it, and then make Bill have to sit there and accept whatever apology that Colton, I'm sure, has spent months rehearsing. Like, now he has to have the responsibility to accept the apology on live television. Like, it's just not.
Yeah.
It's not my gig. It's not.
It wasn't
my
a great apology either.
It
that,
sucks.
Yeah, they, no, asked, they asked him like about if, you know, like what he said was racist, and he's like, oh, like I'm not racist. I would hook up with Shamar Moore.
To admit to being racist.
I would hook up with Shamar Moore faster than any woman. Like, I don't think that's a great answer.
Oh, great! The sexualization of black men. That's not racist at all.
I don't think he nailed it.
No, I mean, it was so bad. It was like, is he racist? No, you're not racist. Should he come back? It was like, why are you guys hee-hee-ha-ing it? Like, this is not like a funny situation. I get it. So yes, he's stupid. Still the character that everybody was talking about in the entertainment, but it was like, this is not so funny. Stupid. Stop talking about him.
Mm-hmm. Well, so then they go into the audience, and they talk to Colton's poor mom. It's like, Colton, you're not doing a good job at this. Like, please, this is not how we raised him. This is not. No, Colton, this isn't it. Stop it, Colton. And she's apologizing. And then we go from that to like, oh, wait, hold on. Here's Mayim Bialik is here. She's not here to promote the Big Bang Theory. And boy. Mayim Bialik was pretty pro Colton. She was a big fan.
I know. I was like
really,
oh,
Mayim?
Yikes. I mean, I guess back then it didn't really matter for a Big Bang Theory.
She's like, no, I don't
think now.
She's like, I thought he was fabulous.
Yeah, all the CBS shills are just coming out tonight to make sure that when he does eventually get a second chance, it's not out of nowhere.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Yeah. That was wild. And then and then they go from Mayim Bialik's like, oh, yeah, he should play again. I would like to see that Blossom. What are you doing?
No.
For what? Like, what do you want to see that you haven't already seen? And what do you, and do you honestly feel like when he does come back, people are going to want to work with mm-hmm. him? I don't get, like, what's the appeal? Like, why do they think that he is so compelling? I don't get it. Is it because he allegedly had all these master plans that he felt like he didn't get a chance to complete them because he got medevaced? Like, there are so many other players that have been medevaced that didn't get a chance to come back. Like, why him?
They like the drama that they're looking for, like in a season where you had people who were bumps on a log, like that you really got the message of, like, even Colton himself says it, like, well, people said that it got boring once I was gone, so. And it was almost like, you know, people like cheered, and Jeff didn't even say, like, you know what, no, it was better when you were gone. They didn't shoot it down.
They didn't. And then they had to really, like, sort of, like, I feel like when they finally realized that Colton was just not what they thought that Colton was after the second season, then Jeff really had to, like, go in on him later on. And it's like, you should have done that from the beginning, though. So, like, it just, the whole, the everything surrounding Colton is just rotten. It's just rotten.
Yeah. Then after they go to Mayim Bialik, it's like, okay, random guy, stand up here. Like, there's no introduction to this man. Jeff does not ask him what his name is. You don't. Is this an executive? Is this a family member or just a random person? And he's like, "All right, random guy. Do you think Colton is similar to Russell?" And they're like, "No." The guy is likes him, and then Colton's like, "I love everybody." Like, okay, that was enough for the audience. It's wild.
It was bad.
Are you guys entertained?
Yeah. All right. Then they had a Tarzan segment, and they talked to Tarzan's wife. They checked in. They did a pretty good job bouncing. I don't think they got to everybody.
I always feel bad for the players that they don't get their shot, their chance to shine. Like, what's the point of coming? I always feel bad for them.
But they get paid. They get paid to sit there.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Just got to see Leaf's wife. That was about it. It was a lot of Colton.
And then Kim won more money.
Kim, how about this? Kim really cleaned up.
Fan favorite.
Won the fan favorite also.
I was kind of pissed about that. I felt like that should have went to Sabrina. She was my favorite.
Yeah, she kind of gets lost in the edit in the middle of the merge. Like she has a big edit in the beginning of the season, and then she's in like the last couple episodes. But like it's just like from like the merge till like maybe like the final seven. You don't see a ton of Sabrina.
Yeah, like when she wasn't into control of the progression of the game, they were like, "All right, we don't need you to narrate anymore. Let's just focus on Kim." So
yeah, okay, all right. We have questions from the listeners of Rob Has a Podcast that we will get into. Is there anything else that either of you want to bring up from your notes on the season?
No, I think that's it for me. I think we hit all the pressure points for me.
Yep, I'm also covered.
Okay. All right. Let's see. Here, on the subject of Colton, Nolan wants to know, if Colton would not have been medically evacuated, how far do you think he would have made it into the merge? What about this thought experiment? Okay. So they vote out Christina, and when they go to the tribal council, Colton has made the merge. Now, what happens? Is it the same exact thing?
So I'm pulling up the cast list now so I can visualize it in my head.
I think so. I think it's still the same thing.
Mm hmm.
Because then he's still with Alicia. Alicia still wants to work with the girls, potentially.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe he's the Tarzan of it all.
Well, I do wonder, could that have ultimately made, could he have been the target where, could Kim, instead of Jonas, could he have been the target where, although he does have an idol,
that idol is, yeah.
Sabrina, she was one of the people that talked about, like, they were getting tired of Colton. Like, they start out like, "Oh, we love Colton." And then, like, by the second episode, they're like, "All right, Colton, you have to go play at your house now. Okay. Go talk to your tribe."
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it depends on, like, how he interacted with everybody once they were all together again. Because, like, obviously he went from being annoying to, like, holding his own on that second tribe. So I don't know. It's hard to say, obviously.
Well, in an interview, he did say that, like, he had a whole plan to then backstab Alicia. So I'm wondering just how quickly that was supposed to happen and if he was planning on using his idol to make that happen. Because I feel like if the girls catch wind of that Alicia is the next one to go and he's planning on using it, because he's not scared about talking about using that idol. He did it at one of the tribal councils anyway. I feel like Sabrina and Kim and Chelsea, they come up with a plan to get him up out of there. I don't think that he lasts that much longer. Maybe he lasts one tribal council, but at least he is not going to go anywhere and he'll be gone before she goes.
Yeah, I think everybody was over it. You know, I don't know if maybe he can maybe get by with the idol, but I don't know how many people are going to follow him to the final three.
No, no.
I don't know. With these people, I cannot be convinced that readily that some of these people would just be like, "Oh yeah, let's vote him out." Like, we should have done that already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I don't know. I do wonder if that maybe might have kept the, because Sabrina and Chelsea and Kim are all from the other tribe.
Imani.
Yeah. So I wonder maybe if that might have been like, could have been a sliding doors where Solani just does the pagonging of the Monono tribe. And then ultimately, then they go after Jonas and they go after Tarzan and then Leif. And then maybe leave like Christina and Alicia towards the end, and then maybe take out Jay and Troyzan at that point.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
How about this from Jeremy from Asheville? Is Kim the most normal person to ever win Survivor?
No.
Who's the most normal Survivor winner?
No, I mean, but what constitutes her as like most normal? Do you mean like the most chill, like the most underspoken? Like maybe, like, but I don't think that she's any more normal than some of the other players that have won. I don't know. Maybe I'm overanalyzing the question.
Yeah. Let's see. Maybe she doesn't come across it. If you ran into her, you wouldn't necessarily think that she's a
like she's not reality, like the reality TV show TV contestant. Type?
Yeah.
Gotcha. I mean, sure. I could probably maybe. Off the top of my head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's a lot of people from the early seasons that probably were you consider them to be somewhat normal. Not everybody is necessarily like jumping off the screen reality but TV I still think, personality.
But Survivor is such a different breed for me. Like when it comes to like, I don't really ascribe a lot of Survivors as reality TV people, because Survivor really isn't like a lot of other reality TV shows for me. Because when you think about reality TV, you're thinking about like the Housewives of it all, the Big Brothers of it all, the VH1 celeb reality shows of it all. Like Survivor is like for gamers. And I think, yes, Survivor does fall into the same pitfalls by trying to recruit a bunch of like models and actors or mactors, as they were called back then, into the fold. So you still do get some of those types, but I think for the most part, we just get a bunch of fans and a bunch of gamers and a bunch of people that really, really want to make a name for themselves in the sphere of Survivor and not reality TV. So,
okay. Jason wants to ask, can you explain how this season has more returning players than any other season in the 20s or 30s? Okay. This is kind of wild when you think about it. So from this season, just to talk it through, we have just in Survivor Blood versus Water alone, Monica comes back, Colton comes back, Kat comes back. Then Troyzan comes back for Survivor Game Changers, and Kim would come back for Winners at War. And unless I'm missing anybody, that's five people from the cast of 18 that we talked about. It is not such a hot cast that comes back from Survivor One World.
I was surprised about Kat coming back the most.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I feel like she got like five confessionals like the entire season, and one of them was her getting killed by Alicia in her dreams. Like,
yeah, she had a dream that Alicia killed her, and then did Jay Byers have a dream that also that he got killed in his dream? I don't know what was going on. A lot of people getting murdered in their dreams. I mean, I did say that I thought that Kat was funny, but I do think that part of the appeal for Kat was that she was dating Hayden. And I think that was like, if she was dating some random guy, maybe they don't end up bringing her back. But that was a chance to, you know, bring a Big Brother winner into the Survivor world.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Does that surprise you when you hear that, Amon, that five people came back from this cast?
No, because I mean, even if the season isn't necessarily one of the best in the eyes of the fandom, I still think like there are players that we want to see get second chances. We wanted to see Kim had to be back for Winners at War. And I think that there is a redemption story for Troyzan, and maybe Kat is the most surprising out of all of them. But yeah, I mean, there are some compelling people on this season that we want to see come back. Colton should not be back, but that's the one true misfire of it all.
Yeah, Ryan Patterson wants to ask, is this season really as bad as people think, or does it seem worse because it originally followed Redemption Island and South Pacific and people were simply sick of the Pagongings? Okay, watching it through like this prism of that we didn't just come off of two other seasons that had tribes running away with it. Serena, how do you feel like this held up?
That's a fair point. If you're back-to-back seasons watching just one group of people control the whole game, this could be annoying. But I still think that Kim really saves the season. She's such a great player, and it's really awesome to see her strategy throughout the game from the beginning to the end, especially like Amana mentioned earlier, how she didn't even feel like she would be the type of person to like go women strong or whatever. So I think it still holds up.
Yeah, yeah, I was pleasantly surprised, Amon, that I really went into this like expecting it to be, you know, just a real drag. And that's really my measure of how I'm watching these of like, what, seven more episodes to go? Mm-hmm. But I really wasn't feeling that. Like, there's certainly like plenty of like cringeworthy moments that happen in this season. But overall, like I feel like that, it's you know, most there's fun there.
Yeah, there's fun there, and there's drama there, and I guess to Colton's point, begrudgingly, like, yeah, like he adds something. Like if I'm watching a season of Survivor and I'm feeling something, then that's a step in the right direction. I would rather be feeling a lot more positive energy than negative energy. That's for sure. But I think that by virtue of the season having a cast of living, breathing characters, I think that puts it above some of the rest. So I was really shocked when, I mean, even some of the my fellow podcasters on RAJP were like, "You signed up to do One World." I'm like, why is everybody so mad about this? Like, I'm not that bad on hard on the season. I'm really not.
So I would disagree with Colton in that I actually think the season got better once he left. Like, I think it's just like a dumpster fire in the pre-merge of the game. Then I think that like most of the things that I liked happened in the post-merge game. Like, I think the battle, like the tug of war for Kim, and then ultimately, you know, everything that, you know, Kim's decisions that she has to make. I feel like that most of the fun that I had in the season was once Colton was gone.
Especially in conjunction, because a lot of people say that, like I said, that these mid-20 seasons are like the dark ages of Survivor. But Kim, gotta give it up to Kim once again, because she really just wraps the season up in a nice little bow. And no shade to Sophie Clark, but after Sophie Clark, I was glad to see someone like Kim win. I think that Sophie deserved to win it all, but that's in the podcast.
That's for the South Pacific podcast. By the way, to correct we did not vet the previous question that people in the chat want us to know, that Survivor Cagayan has had six people back. Okay? All right?
Okay.
Got it.
That makes sense.
Okay. All right.
Sorry.
Yes.
I mean, there's been so many return seasons, so
a lot of
hard to keep track.
Yes. Okay. This is from Brandon Weber. I really wish Sabrina had gotten a chance to play in Second Chance. I remember being impressed by her in my first One World rewatch, and I'm excited to see her game again if I get to. Chapter 24 of TEOS. Are there any other players that you would like to see again from Survivor One World that haven't played for a second time?
Chelsea hasn't been back, right?
Yeah, I know. Again, I don't know how much is there. Like, I think she had like some interesting relationships with the guys. I'm surprised that she didn't get a vote from any of the men. But I think Jonas, was interesting enough if you were going to go to somebody else.
I think Matt
Quinlan, the Rooster.
He was. Because he was like kind of like annoying. So I feel like he would be interesting to see again a little bit, get how he would get a little bit further in the game. But Yeah. Wow.
I like to see Bill get another chance because the way that he went out was atrocious. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
I'd see that.
Yeah, I don't know if Bill was like a. I don't think he particularly stayed involved with anything Survivor related after the season was.
No
and
surprise.
You can't blame him. You can't blame him.
No surprise.
Yeah. So okay. How about have we talked enough about Leaf? Leaf, he had a box. That was fun.
Oh yeah.
When Leaf slipped in a box. He got really pumped up for a reward challenge one time.
I hated the immunity challenge with the where they're fighting over the balls and shooting the hooves and
they just threw him.
They're just throwing him. I'm like, this is just it's not fair. It's literally not fair. Like
yeah. And he matched up against Michael Jefferson?
Yes.
It just and Mike is just like it's just like, come on. Like, and there definitely was a moment where he almost got a basket. But even with the height disparity, it's like he has so much further to I hated watching that. I was rooting for him so hard. I was like, if I don't even care about the rest of this team, can he just like win by himself? Like, give him individual immunity. Like that. I hated watching that.
He's fine in the shows that I think that it was Leaf and allegedly Christina, I think, are the two people that Jeff had the biggest problems with on this cast. Not the people who were necessarily like, being terrible, but Jeff's biggest, and this might be a little bit of an urban legend, but that Jeff did an interview like around the time the season was airing with Chuck Klosterman when on Bill Simmons' former website, Grantland. And he talked about how there were two players in this season. And I forget if he said that they were like, basically he implied that they were so terrible at the game, or like, so like, defame these people by saying the wrong thing, but basically he's trying to say that they had a real lack of survivor intelligence to the point where they ruined the season.
Well, were they recruits? Were they fans of the show?
Yeah, I believe so.
Well, there's your answer, Jeff.
Yeah, but I do feel like that this is sort of like a low watermark in Survivor casting, where we come back in Survivor Philippines and like begin a run of like kind of strong casts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's quite obvious. Like, you just got to find people that, first of all, know the game. Second of all, want to play the game. Third of all, have like a passion for it and like have something to offer you, like the camera and the audience. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I mean, if Leaf was one of the catalysts to bringing us that change, then more power to you, Leaf. Thank you. Appreciate you much.
Yeah.
Thanks for playing.
Andy Kim wants to know, should the Kelly Wentworth Award for pre-merge returnee actually be named to the Monica Culpepper Award? Amazing that she came back to have such a big impact on a future season.
Yeah, she definitely fought tooth and nail her second time.
Mm-hmm.
She did a good job.
She will come back. She will make it to the final three.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Get decimated by that jury, which I still think is... I can't wait for that podcast because that... Yeah.
Survivor Blood versus Water.
Yeah, exactly. I just that was mm-hmm. I'm sure you guys will talk about it.
Yeah. Okay. Austin says Alicia needs to send Colton flowers because if it wasn't for him, she'd be unquestionably the biggest jerk of the season. Approximately what percentage of seasons would Alicia be the biggest jerk in the season on? I'm going to have to come up with a scientific answer. I think there's that.
Probably I'd probably say a good 70%.
I don't think she should send him flowers, though. He doesn't deserve that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That he did absorb most of the backlash for the season. Okay. How about from Ben Top? Besides Kim, who was the next most likely person to win? I think Sabrina could have won, but curious to hear your picks. I mean, Sabrina did get two votes at the final tribal council, but ultimately, I think she probably has to get rid of Kim.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anybody without, besides Kim, definitely Sabrina.
Yeah.
I guess, it has to be Chelsea after that, being that she made it to the end. I don't think that Christina ever can win. I don't think Alicia can ever can win. Maybe there's a land in which Tarzan wins. Maybe. I mean, all of the girls were very, struck with when his wife came, and that really like raised his appeal. So maybe there's a world where Tarzan can win. But I think after that, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, I wonder maybe if there might have been a move for Sabrina to take Kim out. I mean, we heard her talk about in the edit, like, boy, Kim and her baby blues, and she has everybody wrapped around her finger. But then Kim goes on like the end game run where she's never vulnerable. I mean, she's immune, I think, at the final five. Does she win the final three? 5-4-3? So there's no shot
with
to
an immunity idol in her pocket.
With an immunity idol in her pocket.
She was invincible.
Yeah. So tough to beat when somebody ends up going on the run and you can't end up voting them out. Sure. Kyle wants to know, is the men's tribe the worst tribe in Survivor history?
One of. Definitely one of. Top five. I feel like there's more out there.
Yeah, boy.
Immunity, man. That's bad.
Yeah, they were, it wasn't great casting, and then also they made the worst move. So I think there's a strong case to be made for them being the worst tribe, especially like worst tribe of nine. Like there are some bad like tribes of six.
Yes.
Yeah, that's true. Like, I mean, there's nine of y'all. Y'all can't get it together. Like, that's really true. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And let's see. All right, I'm going to try to see if there's any other questions that we haven't talked about. Tubby Lunchbox wants to know, is this the best obvious winner season of all time? Maybe I was drawn in by Kim's charm, but I thoroughly enjoy watching her dominance. Does Kim's cakewalk, I know you said in the real time it bothered you. Is this the best season with an obvious winner?
I'm trying to think of other obvious winners.
It was annoying to watch, like, knowing that nobody was going to do anything about it.
I was heated, y'all. Like, I don't think y'all understand. I was...
But it probably
I was closing my laptop. I was slamming my laptop down because I just could not understand how this kept happening. And it was right after watching Sophie win, too, so I was just pissed. But I mean, upon rewatch, probably. I mean,
yeah,
that's the biggest redeeming quality for the season, and it's the thing that people talk about with Kim the most. It's just like you can't deny it might have been horrible, but you can't deny what she did. Like she was just so great. So probably,
yeah. To me, after knowing that she's gonna win, like that doesn't bother me too much. Like I felt like that there were interesting decisions that she had to make along the way, where I feel like that Rob in Redemption Island has less like interesting calls that he has to make.
With the girl sitting next to her, sitting next to him too, it just wasn't that compelling. And then Mike Holloway is not compelling. Like
If Kim was sitting next to Christina and Alicia, then yes, it would have been way worse because it would be exactly that obvious. So it was nice to see that there were other like strong players sitting next to her, and it could have, although Chelsea didn't get any votes, there was, you know, some votes that didn't all go Kim's way.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's take a look at some of our survey results that we poll the listeners every single week and ask them what they thought about the season. Who is the MVP of the season? The answer was Kim. Serena, what percentage of the audience do you think voted for Kim as the MVP?
96%.
Okay, not ooh, that high. 91%.
Okay, close enough.
Okay.
I would have gotten that wrong.
Which one-time player would you most like to see come back and play again in a future season? This, too, is a runaway.
Sabrina.
52% said Sabrina should come back and play. Okay, this is always interesting. Which name from the cast list made you pause and think to yourself, wait, who's that? Serena, who do you think
I can't even think of who it would be.
Who's that person?
Oh, probably the girl that was Maddie Beckman.
Yeah.
Courtney Moon.
I couldn't remember her name. That's why.
I think people couldn't even remember her to vote for her.
To even put yeah. her down.
Because it's Nina Acosta. 36%.
Nina.
The girl with the face thing.
Yeah, she got hit in the face.
I mean, she comes in, jacks up her face, and then gets voted off. Like, it's not good.
She was not happy with Kat. She really hated Kat.
And she was so right. She was so right. It really reminded me of like a game of Among Us when you know who the imposter is and you're telling everybody, guys, get them out of here. And they're like, no, we're going to vote for you, Nina. Like, why?
Yeah. I liked at the tribal council when Nina is like, I have life experience. Okay. I know, like, I know what it takes. Like, I've been through a lot of stuff. And Kat is like talking about like, well, like, look, I haven't been through a lot of things. Like, all right, I've never failed at anything in my life before. It's like, okay. I find that interesting.
I guess that street smarts is an LAPD detective or whatever she was. This just did not pan out for her today.
So much about how little Kat knew as a 22-year-old. Like, was I that stupid? That was only a couple years ago. Like, come on.
No. Okay. Who is the most underrated player of the season?
Underrated? Sabrina's probably up there.
Troyzan, maybe.
Maybe Troyzan, maybe. That's it for me. Okay. Like, can't think of anybody else.
Sabrina, 40% most underrated player of the season. The Kelly Wentworth Award for the best pre-merge boot, we kind of tipped it off. Monica Culpepper, 57%. Who's the second? Who's the second best pre-merge boot?
Did Bill get some sympathy?
Bill,
maybe?
Yes. Yes. Out of the 40 seasons, how would you rank the winner, Kim Spradlin? We asked the audience 1 to 40. How would you rank Kim?
17.
17.
She's in the teens. I'm going to say 15, maybe.
Too low. 5.8.
Oh, okay.
Really?
Very high.
Wow. Interesting.
Don't come for me.
We ask the audience, do you feel like this season is too low or just right? Too low, too high, or just right? Okay.
It's too low.
Yeah. 40% said too low, but 51% said just right.
Okay.
Okay.
I mean, I guess that's why we're here, right? Because of course we would say too low.
Yeah, I think
they voted for this.
I don't know necessarily how many seasons are going to be that I'm going to say are worse than this, but yeah, this was fine. That I was pleasantly surprised. This is my third time going through it. I think I might have been a little bit more down on it when we watched it for the evolution of strategy. When I did that, though, I think I was really looking at game. I think I took like a more of like a like, am I having fun or not when I'm watching right now? And, you know, I was enjoying this most of the way through.
Yeah, as a person, because I'm more like that, too, when watching Survivor. If I'm enjoying it, I am kind of like, I guess RHAP has sort of like raised my palate in terms of strategy. Mm-hmm. But even with that, like we said, countless times now that watching Kim, you know, maneuver her way through and making the decisions that she did, there's some strategy there. There's some entertainment there. There's some great narrators here. You got Sabrina out there, you know, really just having a good time before the merge. And then you got these crazy zany fights between Troyzan and the rest of the tribe. And then Tarzan's in there making a fool of himself. So there's definitely lots of things to digest for this season. I think, yeah.
I didn't think there was one point where the season really dragged, Serena.
No, I don't think so. I feel like the pre-merge was chaotic, and then Troyzan continued after merge, and then again, like you said, watching Kim kind of decide where she was going to go and watch everybody else be kind of so clueless. It was kind of a relief to get to the end and like be like confirmed on Kim, but yeah. I feel like it kept speed.
Okay. Anything else, Survivor One World, before I tell you what the 36th best season of Survivor is going to be? All right, next Wednesday night on the 36th best season of Survivor is around the corner. And I can tell you, do you have a prediction? No. Okay. I will tell you. The 36th best season of Survivor is coming up next Wednesday.
Edge of Extinction?
Yes, Amon, the Edge of Extinction, finally.
Here we go.
It's time.
Look,
with
this was a
season.
Good run for the Edge of Extinction. A lot of people probably, you know, had it low, but look at the Edge of Extinction. Look at it. Mama, look at me now. Top 36, the 36th best season of Survivor, the Edge of Extinction, Survivor 38, the 36th best season of Survivor will be our next chapter in this journey, and I will be joined by Ari Ferrari, who is the person who really crystallized this idea of doing the season rankings as a weekly countdown, and Matt Scott from the Wrestling Rehab Up. They will be my guests next Wednesday night, and we will talk about The Edge. Dude.
I like to live on the edge.
Yeah. So, let's see. How does The Edge hold up?
Not well, in my opinion.
but have you rewatched it?
I have not rewatched it yet. No, I haven't.
Okay.
I haven't.
Let's see.
Maybe I'll make that like a little mini project for this week so I can catch up before the podcast.
Yeah. All right. So that is coming up. Also, our Survivor One World feedback show for the patrons only is coming up this weekend. Myself and Felipe Shimon will get into any unanswered questions from Survivor One World, questions that came up from this panel, and more. That's going to be in our patron podcast feed over at robiswebsite.com/patron. Serena, I want to talk to you about what you're up to.
What am I up to?
Yes.
I relaunched my YouTube channel.
Yes, well, I wanted to talk to you about your YouTube channel.
Yes.
Yes.
So go subscribe at
Let's
Go Serena.
Can we talk about what you're up to on YouTube?
So it's a combination.
Yes.
You inspired my Sims Let's Play. So I'll be posting Sims videos and any other PC games that people might be interested in seeing. And then I'm also doing weeks in the life vlog style videos in San Francisco if you want to see what it's like to live out here in the Bay.
Okay. Do you have any eating videos?
I do. I have a mukbang recently where I eat a lot of really good garlic noodles.
How much? How many garlic noodles?
I didn't specifically count the noodles individually, but it was at least like 2 pounds of noodles.
So you ate 2 pounds on a YouTube video?
Yes. So join me for a meal if you don't want to eat alone.
Now, are you going for speed when you do that?
Oh, no. I'm going for maximum enjoyment.
Mm-hmm. Wow. This is wild.
I know.
You should totally
New Year's
do,
me.
Yeah.
You should totally do a mukbang video, Rob, where you just eat a bunch of like rice while watching an episode of Survivor.
So much rice.
And coconut.
No, it's Survivor. You don't eat on Survivor.
Exactly.
It's the opposite
the
of that.
Contrast.
Yeah.
It's all about the contrast.
The mukbang is you chasing a chicken and a pig for like the majority of the video. And then the last part is you picking your teeth with a piece of bamboo.
Okay. Yeah. You know, there's one point where Tarzan is eating like he takes like some like a part off the shelter and then just like starts eating it, right?
Yes.
And then and then Chelsea asks him, like, did you just take a part of our wall off the shelter? He's like, no, I didn't.
It was not integral.
He's like, I don't mind being accused of something if I'm wrong, but I'm not.
Classic.
I guess he just needed some fiber that day.
He's unhinged. To increase Tarzan.
To help with his stool.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no. It's wild. Amon, you have the new setup over here. You got the lights all set up and ready to go. So you must be ready to stream and make videos.
Yes, I do have a Twitch stream now. I just started doing it a couple of weeks ago. We have been...
What are you streaming?
Right now, I have just been reading Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. We do two chapters a night, commentary and discussion.
I'm following right now.
Yeah. So you read to people.
I read to people, yeah.
Wow. This is like you have like a bedtime story.
Exactly. I do it at 10 p.m. on Mondays and Wednesdays. Obviously not tonight because I'm here. And yeah, I just, you know, Harry Potter fans out there that want to just wind down. I had a first time listener actually pop into the room, and that was really interesting and cool. So yeah.
What house is Kim?
What house is Kim?
She's a Ravenclaw.
I would say Gryffindor for Kim, actually.
Yeah.
I feel like she's...
So I have to
ask the real weird sisters what we said.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. She is low-key Serena, but I feel like for Gryffindor, the thing that strikes the most with me is just how, like, bold she is, even in the face of adversity. And she will, like, the final tribal council, she will just tell you straight up, this is why I voted you out. I know that, she's very, like, straight with you. And I think that that's, like, the Gryffindor coming out for her.
Fair enough.
Okay. Amon, what else is going on?
I'm still doing my Glee podcast with Matt. We're doing a bunch of character analysis, so check us out at the Choir Room. And I got, of course, the Drag Race
RuPaul's
podcast.
RuPaul's Drag Race, yeah.
RuPaul's Drag Race is going to be still a thing this week. I'm really excited. I had a mishap on the latest recap, which I'm sure many people enjoyed. So check that out.
Yes.
And yes.
Are you okay after your fall?
You know, it was quite bruised. I laughed it off, but my coccyx was not happy. It was not happy for at least 2 days, but I'm good now. I'm good.
All right. Well, we are all happy after we talked about Survivor One World. Thank you both. This was a really fun panel. I'm glad we got together to talk about Survivor One World tonight. Of course, a lot more going on. Got some talking with T-Bird. We just talked to Kelly Wigglesworth. Got some more coming your way. We'll have the finale of our Kid Nation rewatch. Chappelle will join us on the Kid Nation rewatch finale. Myself and Phil Thompson will talk about the final three episodes of Kid Nation in our big finale and much more, all at robhasawebsite.com. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.